the school board election. But our work is not done. So be there this Tuesday at the school board meeting at Carr Lane Middle School at 7 o'clock. Our work is not done. Attend your school board meeting.
Time now for another edition of the Wake Up Call with Liz Brown. Views expressed on this program are not necessarily those of the staff, management, or advertisers of WGNU Radio. This broadcast is a production of Norman Broadcasting Company, Incorporated, and WGNU Radio, and is intended solely for the information and entertainment of our listening audience. Any rebroadcast, transcribing, recording, or other use of this material without the expressed written consent of Norman Broadcasting Company, Incorporated, and WGNU Radio is strictly prohibited. We ask that you govern your calls within the bounds of brevity and good taste. And now, the Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air.
Was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis.
I will never say that progress is being made. If you take a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. If you pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
Common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal, yet many are denied equality.
So we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Welcome, 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 welcome to the morning wake-up call. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. Ooh, we have much, much, much to talk about. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. Get up, get to me. We have so much stuff to talk about. 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. Get up, get to me. My goodness gracious, Lord, we have so much stuff to talk about. Lord, we have so much stuff to talk about. Get up. And get to me. Ooh, let me see. Where do I begin? Where do I begin? Where do I begin? Let me go to, you mind? Y'all mind if I go to Connecticut? Connecticut. You mind if I go to Connecticut? I want to talk about Bush's pet, Joe Lieberman. Good boy. Sit. Good boy. That's a good boy. That's right. George Bush's pet. Anger at Bush could bring down a number of congressional Republicans, and one Democrat may just join them. That's a good boy. He is Joseph Lieberman. As you know, I've talked about this before, how Ned Lamont has done such a fabulous job of rallying support against Joe Lieberman. Joe Lieberman, and also MoveOn.org, Democracy for America, is run by Howard Dean's brother, Jim. He already has an endorsement from the National Organization for Women. Why is Lamont running against Lieberman? Lamont said, you know, I saw him on Meet the Press. And Joe Lieberman was right up there in the Terry Schiavo case with all the other Republicans. Ain't that some stuff? Ain't that some stuff? All up in Terry Schiavo's stuff. Ned Lamont said the last straw for me was when Congressman John Murtha called for a gradual troop withdrawal from Iraq. And Joe Lieberman said, that undermines the president's credibility at everyone's peril. Lamont said, you know what? I'm picking up the phone. I'm going to start making some calls. Now, Ned Lamont is no punk. I mean, he has, his net worth sits between $90 million and $300 million. He has enough money to run a campaign. His net worth is between $90 million and $300 million. And here's a hoot. Here is a super hoot, okay? So how is Joe Lieberman fighting back at Ned? Lieberman is running commercials already. Lieberman should be concerned. He's running commercials. And he's bought not just commercials, but television ads. And they say, meet Ned Lamont. He's a Greenwich millionaire. Or Greenwich millionaire. Ain't that some stuff? George Bush is from that same town. And Joe Lieberman, by the way, has $7 million to run this campaign, his campaign. $7 million. Ned has $2 million to run that he's put in so far. Oh, how are the polls doing? How are the polls doing? The polls are doing just fine. Last month, Lieberman drew 65% to Ned Lamont's 19%. How's it looking this month? Lieberman is down to 57%, and Ned Lamont is up to 32%. Moving on up, baby. Moving on up. Ain't that some stuff? Ain't that some stuff? But. As good as Ned Lamont is, we need to talk about, we need to analyze, we need to break it down so it forever stays broke. We need to break it down so it forever stays broke. Why the Democrats did not win that seat on behalf of, or that seat that was held by the Dukester. The Democrats are crowing that they won, that they lost by 4 points. We won! We won! No. I'm going to have to do what the Republicans say. I'm going to have to say what the Republicans say. Winning is winning. Losing by 4 points is still losing. Winning is winning. Just like people say, perception is reality. No, reality is reality. And those that believe perception is reality need to be on medication or locked away. Winning is winning. Let's talk about why the Democrats didn't win that Cunningham race. It's a brilliant, brilliant, brilliant article by Robert Perry. Why the Democrats lose. At a dinner a few weeks ago, a well-placed Republican operative, political operative, was oozing confidence about GOP prospects in November. Not because the voters love them some George W. Bush. Oh, no. He was oozing confidence because the Democrats and liberals had done so little to improve their ability to reach the public with their message. And by contrast, he started talking about a highly sophisticated Republican system for pouncing on Democratic bad votes, verbal gaffes, and distributing information instantaneously to a network of pro-Republican media outlets that now operate down to the state, district, and local levels. And I can tell you this about, let me make a local comparison, if I might, as we work through why Democrats lose. I remember the Claire McCaskill campaign here in the state of Missouri when she wanted to be governor, running against Matt Blunt, how old was he? 15 or 16 when he was running for 14, okay, when he ran for governor. And I remember... Yeah, just got through puberty. All right. I remember sitting in at the station talking about Claire McCaskill, pushing on Claire McCaskill's candidacy to put a Democrat in, to put her in the gubernatorial house there. But every single day that I was on the air, we were getting facts about what Claire McCaskill said. They were running commercials down in the Boot Hill. Instantaneous. They were taking little bits of her statements and running commercials down in the Boot Hill on Claire McCaskill. It was happening here in the state of Missouri. I got faxes, and I didn't get any faxes from Claire McCaskill's office. Didn't get any. Every single day there was a fax sent about something that Claire McCaskill said that was wrong from the little boy whose voice was barely changing, barely finished changing, Matt Blunt. Okay? So this guy ain't no joke. This guy that is saying the Republicans have a way of instantaneously Karl Roving any election. Why didn't the Democrats win in California with the seat of the Dukester? How are you going to lose by 4 percentage points? Why? Because the same people that support, embrace, and advise Joe Lieberman were supporting, embracing, and advising Busby, a newbie to this whole political situation. Check this out. She followed the advice of national Democratic consultants. Avoid controversial positions. Then she blurted out to a mostly Latino audience, "You don't need papers for voting." And then she clarified what she meant. You don't need to be a registered voter to help. What did the Republicans do? You don't need papers for voting. You know they took that statement and made it into all kinds of commercials and said that accusing her of urging illegal immigrants to vote. Then Busby spent the last several days of her campaign apologizing and backtracking. They were the ones that were advising her. And the Democrats' consultants never talk about is the thing that they never talk about is the giant media advantage that Republicans have created from years of investing in media outlets, from newspapers, magazines, books, cable television, talk radio, and the Internet. They've combined all of these things. Busby said, did not stake out the issues, and she didn't push on them. Also, we have to ask the question of why Democratic consultants neglect this glaring problem. I'll tell you why. Because the Democratic consultants don't profit from building media infrastructure and the other nitty-gritty aspects of engaging in this war of ideas. Even in losing, there is more money from consulting contracts and ad buys. It's better if we lose. So say the consultants. Democratic consultants during election cycle encourage wealthy liberals and progressives to funnel money into campaigns or to groups. Then in off years, these Democratic consultants direct the money into think tanks where other friends and insiders hold down high-paying jobs that really don't do that much. And when elections roll around, Democratic consultants are there to help pick the candidates and counsel them in expressing safe themes that have been tested before, focus groups arranged by other consultants. Next, the tightly managed candidates are guided through campaigns designed less to inspire than to, not to offend. The Busby defeat. It's kind of a micro, I think it's a terrific example. Maybe it's foretelling of what's going to happen in November. In the Busby race, this is the Duke Cunningham race, where the Democrat lost by 4 percentage points. Republicans made immigration the hot button issue. And Busby's clumsy remark was soon reverberating through the giant echo chamber of right-wing talk shows, right-wing blogs, and right-wing columnists. Lacking the media artillery to fire back, and having her fighting spirit leached out of her by consultants, Busby chose not to go on the offensive, and because Republicans and accused the Republicans of using their old tactics of division, racism, and smear, instead she followed another favorite piece of Democratic consultant advice, apologize and retreat. That's not what I said, you lying racist. And you know that's not what I said. And the best, blah, 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 instead she said, I'm sorry. This is a classic case of how the Democratic consultant class loses an election. The Busby race again revealed the National Democrats' failure to match up with Republicans across the board, from their campaign spending to their aggressive commitment to every aspect of the election machinery and convincing message necessary to win. We have much to do. They lost that race in California. It was 4 points. They should have won it. It was a loss. We need to get these folks out of office that are hiring these horrible, horrible, horrible consultants. My name is Liz Brown. We have much to talk about. Don't forget that tomorrow. Is tomorrow Saturday? That is. 9 o'clock, we're going to be talking about Team 4 at the Urban Institute. Come on down to 1020 North Taylor. We're going to have this discussion, Irene J. Smith and myself. Stay with us. She's afraid what they've been doing's not right. He doesn't know what to say.
30 minutes after the hour of 6 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton. We'll look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Sonic, America's Drive-In. Eastbound 44 at Bulls and 270 looks good. Northbound 55 from Richardson. 270 is on the move. Northbound 270 at 44 is flowing freely at this hour. Eastbound 70 at Cave Springs. All the way out to Blanchett Bridge. Look for no problems to report. Westbound 270 at New Corset. Look for traffic building there. Westbound 6570 to Poplar Street Bridge. Paving operations has right lane closed. And traffic is slow to near 4th Street. Westbound 6475-70 looks good. Northbound Route 3 at Poplar Street Bridge, no problems there. Westbound Kingbridge traffic, however, from the Illinois Bank, look for heavy volume all the way into the Sleep Landing. And that is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Sonic, America's Drive-In. Try Sonic's tasty and hearty bacon, egg, and cheese breakfast burrito. Make it a combo with Sonic's classic tots or fries and a regular coffee or soft drink. Breakfast at Sonic, it's not just good, it's Sonic good. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Sunday. Partly sunny today, scattered showers this afternoon, possible a high around 90 this evening, partly cloudy, chance for showers, low in the upper 60s. Saturday, mostly cloudy, 50% chance of showers with a low in the lower 80s, and Sunday pretty much the same, mostly cloudy, becoming with a chance for showers and a high around 80. Currently we have 70 degrees under partly cloudy skies. Lambert Field is reporting 72. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. That's up next. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the top of the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
You don't have to travel all the way to the mall to visit your Sears. Why don't you visit the only black-owned and operated Sears located at 3425 Union. That's 3425 Union. Sears, where else? Where else? Washers, where else? Dryers, where else? You know, you don't have to go out of town. You don't have to go to the mall. Where else? Sears, right there at Union and Natural Bridge. You want a big screen, you want a small screen, you want a high-end refrigerator, high-end stove, you want a tractor, you want tools, get on over to Sears. My name is Liz Brown. When you get your shop on, tell them I told you to.
Time again to register for the Friday Because We Care drawing. Be the third caller at 454-6660 and your name goes in the box to win a Because We Care package this Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour. The third caller at 454-6660 gets registered. Call now.
Hi, this is Judy Moskov. Join me for a Gardener's Notebook every Monday at noon. We'll be talking with gardening experts and sharing information that you need to know. Get the latest dirt on everything from tomatoes to trees. That's a Gardener's Notebook every Monday at noon.
Hello, I'm John Womack. I have a new show on WGNU called On the Table. Some of the things we'll talk about will be restaurants, food and wine trends, recipes. But really, we're just trying to help you experience great food and wine, whether you're at home or out on the town. So if you love great food and wine, you'll love On the Table. Be listening every Tuesday at noon here on WGNU.
No more calls for the Friday drawing. We have our winner. No more calls at this time, please. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Roy DeBose from Roy's Transmission.
This is Willie Stebney, Stebney Bowes Auto Body.
Join Roy DeBose and Willie Stebney with the Community Repair Answer Hour, Sundays, 6 to 8 p.m. We will feature experts to answer your questions on all sorts of repair. Join us Sundays, 6 to 8 p.m.
I've had a long and full life. Marriage, jobs, kids, then the grandchildren came along. It took hard work and a lot of planning. But one thing I didn't plan on was macular degeneration. It's stealing my eyesight and my independence. And the disease will reach epidemic proportions as my children age. Call 1-800-437-2423 for free information from Macular Degeneration Research. 1-800-437-2423.
Starting your day with information you can't get anywhere else. It's the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Because you want to know what you're going to gonna get in me just a little touch of star quality. And if that too bright goes too far, it's because of the things you are. Beautiful town, I love you. And if I see no golden thread, give your lover the very best.
Oh, welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. My goodness, we have so much stuff to talk about. 454-0400 is my phone number. Get up, get to me. Is it just me? Or is it ghoulish to have this picture of Al-Zarqawi on the front page, death picture of him? Is it ghoulish? And I'm looking at, and not only, and this is trippy, not only is do they have a photograph of his death face, but it is framed and matted by the United States. Is that ghoulish? There's blood seeping out of his nose. There is blood behind this person's head. You are looking at a picture of the death mask of Al-Zarqawi. So, is it just me, or is that just ghoulish? They have framed this picture like it's a Renoir. It's ghoulish. It's ghoulish. 1-877. Front page of the New York Times, same framed photograph. Front page of USA Today, same framed photograph. Same front page of the Financial Times, same framed photograph. It is ghoulish and nasty. Picture of framed photograph of a dead man. D.
Good morning, Dr. Brown.
What's up?
You know, I thought that was ghoulish. I'm a mortician, and I thought it was ghoulish.
Mm.
It's really sad, but what they're doing is they're desensitizing America.
Yeah, they are. Yeah, they are.
I mean, it is so base and so obvious.
Yes, it is. Yes,
and we better do something, because they're really preparing us for some bad stuff.
Yeah, they are. Yeah, they
okay,
are.
Yes, it's ghoulish. Thank you.
All right, 454-0400 is my phone number. Get to me. JB. Good morning. JB?
Yes. Good morning.
Yes.
Okay, I was coming on the picture.
Yes.
And to me, it's none other than as it was in the day. That picture's definitely for white America. So that they can show that we got the guy. Doesn't matter if the right guy, just a guy. So that's my comment.
All right. Thanks. 454-0400 is my phone number. 1-877-920-WGNU. Headline in New York Times. After a long hunt, U.S. bombs kill Al-Qaeda leader in Iraq. Bush calls the mission still difficult. You're being played. You're being played. Barbara.
Good morning, Liz.
Good morning.
I always watch you and have C-SPAN on, too, and they've had about four or five callers saying that if two 500-pound bombs hit that farmhouse, then it wouldn't be anything left. How does that happen? He wouldn't have a face, though. They say it's just another staged success with a nice ribbon tied on it. He couldn't have been killed in the bomb.
Two 500-pound bombs that killed Zarqawi on Wednesday, American forces eliminated the Al-Qaeda leader in Iraq. That's a lot of bomb, isn't it?
A lot of bomb and still have a face.
All right now.
All right.
454-0400 is my phone number, 454. So 1,000 pounds of bombs, and well, kind of like, I guess we can talk about how the passports of the people that were driving the plane into the building, right? How did we find their passports out of all of that? You know what? We did some lucky mammy jammers, aren't we? We always seem to find the tapes, the videotapes that survived the bombing. Well, no, we some, you know what? George Bush ought to play the lottery. Because he's one lucky mamma jamma. 454-0400 is my phone number. Get up, get to me. Maurice.
Good morning, Mrs. Brown.
Good morning.
Hey, a couple quick hitters. One, with the democratic structure as far as the consultants for the elected officials.
Uh-huh.
Something I never really grasped is that, you know, as a young man coming up, something my grandmother always taught me was that whenever you're in a fight, you know, you might get beat up one time, but what you do, you learn from your enemy. You learn something that they did right. You learn a tactic. You learn something that they did right, and you apply it the next time around. Something Democrats never seem to do.
Now, these Democratic consultants, and I want you to understand the lock hold, the stranglehold that the whole what. We lost a whole lot when Bill Clinton came into office because he brought with him this get to the middle, this DLC campaign of mediocrity. We're going to be in the middle. We're going to reach out and include everybody in. And how did that work out for the Democratic Party? We lost the House when Bill Clinton was in office. We lost the Senate when Bill Clinton was in office. And we've been losing ever since because they embraced this whole DLC. Don't fight back. Don't get mad. Get scared. Don't get mad. Get scared.
Yes, ma'am. And the Republicans do just the opposite. They go to the extreme right. They stick to their points, and you know, hell high water. That's what they stick to.
How do we lose? How do we lose that race in California? There is no excuse for losing that race in California.
None. That was a no-brainer.
It was a no-brainer.
And the second point I wanted to talk about was the pictures that they posted. One thing that always tripped me out about America society, I'm going to say white America society, is that when you flip the script on them, when there was the pictures posted of the burned American bodies, the contractors that were hanging from the bridges. There was an outcry. Oh, you can't do that. You can't, you know, the rules of war, you know, that's not fair. You know, the Geneva Convention, have you. But when they flipped the script, when they posted the pictures of Saddam's sons, when they killed them, they posted pictures of this, like, cow we got, we're still in war. You know, the rules don't apply now.
Thanks for your call, Maurice.
Yes,
you're absolutely right. 454-0400 is my phone number. Get up, get to me. We have so much stuff to talk about. Michael.
Good morning, Ms. Brown. How are you doing?
I'm outstanding.
Okay, it's about Ann Coulter and the way she was been talking on the news. I find it incredible that she is allowed to get away with such talk.
Helps sell her books. She's allowed to come on and say outrageous things. Outrageously hateful things. And this goes back to my constant point. Evil people can't hold their belly in. The cop that brutalizes and acts lawlessly on some 17-year-old kid on the street corner underneath the lights that have been shot out, if he beats that baby, when he goes home, he beats his babies. Ann Coulter, while she was ravaging Democrats, she will ravage anybody because that's who she is. She can't hold her belly in. She's a mean, awful, spiteful person that is making money at it. And she's making money because they let her on the air to say things that nobody else is allowed to say.
Plus, she gives access to all these bookstores.
That's correct. That's correct. All right now. Thanks for your call.
Uh-huh.
We're going to take a break. 454-0400 is my phone number. Get up, get up, get to me. We have much, 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 much to talk about.
One always picks the easy fight. One praises fools, one smothers light. One shifts from left to right. Politics, the art of the possible.
Recently in St. Louis, some changes were made in healthcare providers, and we at ConnectCare want you to know that sometimes change can be good. ConnectCare, still connected to the community. ConnectCare is now your specialty care clinic hub. If you or your loved one is dealing with kidney disease, you can contact one of ConnectCare's renal specialists at our renal clinic, dedicated to improving the quality of life and providing optimal care for patients with chronic and acute renal disease. At ConnectCare, we have 14 specialty care clinics to serve your healthcare needs. Our specialty care clinic hub includes specialty clinics dealing with arthritis, ENT, GI, orthopedics, and a women's specialty clinic. At ConnectCare, the physicians and staff at our specialty clinics are committed to the philosophy that the best care is provided by those with the greatest commitment to their community. ConnectCare, still connected to the community. Time again to register for the Friday Because We Care drawing. Be the third caller at 454-6660 and your name goes in the box to win a Because We Care package this Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour. The third caller at 454-6660 gets registered. Call now.
This is Mitch Washington of the St. Louis office of Edward Jones, located at 200 North Broadway downtown, inviting you to tune in to Radio Free St. Louis for the WGNU Stock Market Recap. Weekday afternoons, immediately following the 3:30 traffic update. Find out how your investments are doing and how the numbers on Wall Street are affecting you. That's the WGNU Stock Market Recap with me, Mitch Washington, weekday afternoons at 3:30 on Radio Free St. Louis. AM 920 WGNU.
Hi, I'm Vicki Pimentel, inviting you to join me right here on WGNU 920 AM on Friday nights for a little sports talk. We'll drop the gloves, scuffle a bit, and in the end, line up and shake hands. Yeah, right.
This is Mark Hinderleiter, host of Lessons in Leadership. Every Friday afternoon, I interview high-level leaders about leadership issues that matter most. As far as I know, it's the only show of its kind. Whether you're an executive, manager, teacher, coach, volunteer leader, or the head of a family, this show is for you. You'll get practical tips from real leaders on topics that can give you the competitive edge in the marketplace. Tune in every Friday afternoon at 4 o'clock to Lessons in Leadership.
No more calls for the Friday drawing. We have our winner. No more calls at this time, please. Thank you. This is your wake-up call, Global News Update. Dateline Washington. With the death yesterday of Abu Musab al-Zarqawi, an old report from NBC News is now circulating saying that the Bush administration had at least two previous chances to kill him, but never went forward with those missions. In June of 2002, before the invasion, there was intelligence that said he and members of al-Qaeda had established a weapons lab in the city of Kerma that was producing ricin and cyanide. The Pentagon came up with a plan to strike the camp with cruise missiles and airstrikes. The National Security Council took up the plan, but decided against it. The Pentagon reworked the plan and submitted it a second time, but by then the administration had already made its decision to move against Iraq because it wanted a regime change instead of an attack against terrorism. Then in January of 2003, police in London arrested six people and discovered a ricin lab that was directly linked to al-Zarqawi's operation in Iraq. The Pentagon drew up a third plan to destroy that camp, but the administration again dismissed any action because it might jeopardize its case for war against Saddam Hussein. By the time American forces did make a strike on the Kerma operation, Zarqawi and most of his followers had already left. This is your wake-up call, Global News Update.
Well, it looks like Six Flags St. Louis is kicking off its best season ever with a 45th anniversary and the largest expansion in park history. And here with us on the phone right now, the one and only Tasmanian Devil, Taz. Taz, are you there? Yeah, Taz, it's a pleasure to speak to you, too. My wife's doing great. Listen, we've heard so much about the expansion. Tell us about it. So, you've got the all-new Superman Tower of Power, the Bugs Bunny National Park, and the Justice League Superheroes? And it's all part of the 45th anniversary, which has shows, nightly parades, and a laser light show? Wow, that's a lot, considering you've already got some of the world's most amazing rides and family entertainment. Is there anything else? Six Flags is what? Oh, I see. Six Flags is more than a theme park. It's an experience. And get discount tickets at SixFlags.com.
Hi, this is Liz Brown. Yes, we did win the school board election, but our work is not done. So be there this Tuesday at the school board meeting at Carr Lane Middle School at 7 o'clock. Our work is not done. Attend your school board meeting.
A voice for those that should be heard. This is the award-winning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have so much stuff to talk about. 1-877-920-WGNU. Get up, get up, get to me. You're on the Wake Up Call.
Good morning, Liz.
Good morning.
About Zakari, I'm going to have to disagree with you because this person was he was a very dangerous animal.
He wasn't an animal. He's a human being. You think God sees him as an animal?
Well, the way he cut people's heads off.
Do you think God sees him as an animal?
No, God don't see him
okay.
as an animal.
Okay, and aren't we supposed to be trying to do live and be the way that God wants us to be?
Well, yeah, but
Wait a minute. So attempting to remove a person, regardless of what they have done, irrespective of what they have done, remove them from human existence makes us all worse off. He was a human being that did, according to what we have been told, he's a human being that did awful things.
Well, yeah.
And when you say the word animal, you are because the same people that call him an animal will call you an animal too.
No.
Oh, trust, you don't think George, ask the people in Louisiana if they don't think that George Bush sees him the same type of animal as he sees Al Zarqawi. Ask them.
Well, the thing is, what about the families of the people that this person killed?
What about them?
Well, what about them? Well,
are you a member of that family?
Did you ask the people?
Are you a member of that family?
No, I don't have.
Okay, so who are you to speak for what that family feels, and who are you to speak for them?
I don't have to speak for them.
You just asked me about them.
You're putting words in my mouth.
Okay, then why are you asking me what about their families?
Well, how would you feel if it was your family that this person killed?
Again, you are attempting to speak for that family. You are attempting to speak for that family.
No, I don't have to speak for
them. You just attempted to.
No, you're putting words in my mouth.
You said, how would you feel if that were your family? So now my words are going to be what that family is feeling? I don't know what those families are feeling, and I'm not going to presume to speak for them. How I would feel is how I would feel. How they would feel is how they would feel. And you don't know how they feel, so you can't speak for how they feel.
Again, I don't have to know.
Because this person was
a murdering. He was a murdering thug. So, well, and he deserved what happened to him.
So you believe that people should be killed without trials? You think that people should just drop bombs out of the air and kill people without trials? You believe in lawlessness?
No.
But that's what you just said. I believe he got what was coming to him. That's a lawless attitude, isn't it?
No, you see. You're trying to put words in my mouth.
I'm asking you a question. Do you believe that people that are accused of horrible crimes should have trials?
Of course.
Instead of being killed?
No. I'm not going to go there because you...
I'm asking you a question. All you got to do is answer it. If you don't want to go there, answer it in a way that doesn't take you there.
What? The guy was a thug. And I mean... He deserved what came to him.
So you don't believe in laws and trials?
Yeah, I do believe in laws and trials.
Then you can't say he deserved what he got, because if you believed in laws and trials, you would say, we shouldn't kill people. We should take them to trial and punish them that way and observe and find the evidence and make a decision on whether or not that they are guilty or not. Because what you know is what people have told you. How many books have you read about this man?
How many different authors have you read stories that takes on this man? What you know is what you've seen in the headlines of the paper or seen on TV, isn't it? Isn't it?
Well, I listen to BBC. I listen to Bo Ryan.
That's what I'm saying. What have you read? What have you gone out of your way to find out about? You've listened to the media, and you've determined what your attitude, what your beliefs, and what your understanding is. And you're not alone. And I don't want you to think that you're alone at all. What I'm saying is that we should be unwilling to take that little bit of evidence and have an opinion about something.
Well, I'm going to have to disagree to disagree, sister.
Disagree to disagree. All right. 454-0400 is my phone number, 454-6609. The same people that are calling him a thug called you one, too. Ask the folks in Katrina. Ask them. 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. Car phone.
Liz Brown.
Fella on the car phone.
I'm disagreeing because I'm disagreeing.
That's why I repeated it.
George and the boys are doing exactly what they're doing out there.
That's fact.
They tell these people anything, and they believe it.
Believe it enthusiastic. They believe it enthusiastically and attitudinally.
El Fakawi was in Iraq because America invaded Iraq. When are these people going to wake up and understand that we invaded a sovereign country? They lied to do it.
And can I ask you a question? The accusation is that al-Zarqawi beheaded people, right?
Right.
What did the Marines do in Haditha?
Liz.
What did the Marines do in Haditha?
They went in there, they killed women and children.
Will America drop a 500-pound bomb on their house?
It wipes out not only the people in the house, Liz, it wipes out people from thousands of feet around by the concussion of the bomb blows their eardrums out.
Fact.
You know, I sit up here, I listen to these people, the so-called right wing. They sit up there, they tell Americans anything. We're over there killing people every day. Okay, this guy beheaded a man. If you're dead, you're dead. What difference does it make whether you cut your head off or you got shot or you got blew up? Man, I get so sick and tired of this garbage. I don't know what to do.
It's just fascinating.
Dying every day.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
These people are ignored. This guy's up here. He don't even know what the hell he's talking about. al-Zarqawi, he's murdering people. What the hell you think America's doing over there? We're killing people every day.
Ask
innocent Iraqis.
There you go. There you go.
Have a good one, Liz.
All right. 454-0400 is my phone number. Get up. Get up. Get to me. Andrew.
Good morning, Liz.
Yes, you have 2 minutes here.
Yeah. I want to comment on the war. You know, it seems like they're going to push this magical nuclear button before my book comes out. It's designed to free all human beings from slavery. The slavery that is controlling every person here today by law.
All right.
Without my vote.
All right. Thanks for your call. 454-0400 is my phone number. Eugene.
Yeah.
Quickly, please.
Huh?
Quickly, please.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's getting hot, and then the races for state rep is coming up. So, and I think that Jamila Nashi is doing a great job, and I think that she's running the 60th district.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Yeah, and so it will be interesting, although I'm not in that district, but they got quite a few candidates in there. I think they have also
retired. And I got to roll. We're going to take a break, folks, coming to the top of the 7 o'clock hour, Looking Black. Stay with me.
Some very sad news for all of you, the people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis. I will never say that progress is being made. If you think
stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches. There's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing your wound. That's below me.
For the issues that matter most, it's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
The latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Aldinger. Just days after the death of Abu Musab al-Zarqawi, President Bush will huddle with his war cabinet at Camp David, discussing the future of the U.S. in Iraq. ABC's Ann Compton has details from the White House.
President Bush wakes up at Camp David planning a Monday debate there with his war cabinet. He says it's time to decide how to best deploy American forces in Iraq. That's not, we're told, a signal he's ready to reduce troop levels. It is a recognition Iraq now has a government and defense minister who will join in that debate Tuesday in a video teleconference from Baghdad. Ann Compton, ABC News, the White House.
Zarqawi's death hasn't ended the violence in Iraq. Dozens were killed in a series of attacks yesterday, and today the nation's new prime minister ordered a four-hour ban on all vehicle traffic in Baghdad, Bakuba, and elsewhere.
It is a very quiet day in Baghdad. It is Friday, after all, which is the holy day here, and most people are in mosque, but there is also a vehicle ban for Baghdad and for Diyala province north of here.
ABC's Miguel Marquez in Baghdad. Do you know what your kids are doing online? A Michigan teen's parents probably wish they did. Their daughter ran off to Jordan after meeting a man on the popular website MySpace.com.
Please come home, Catherine, please.
A sister's desperate plea.
We need you.
Mary Lester of Tuscola, Michigan, after her 16-year-old sister, Catherine, apparently tried to run off to Israel for a man she met on the Internet.
She's a wonderful girl. She's
her mother says the behavior is baffling.
Never has given me a minute's problem.
The girl was detained in Jordan trying to board the flight to Tel Aviv.
I never expected this.
Jim Hickey, ABC News.
Kentucky Governor Ernie Fletcher is being arraigned this morning. He was indicted for allegedly handing out protected state jobs to political allies after taking office in 2003. His attorney says he'll enter 3 not guilty pleas, but Fletcher himself is not expected to attend. This is ABC News.
Big during Digital Camera Week at Office Depot. Receive an Office Depot gift card of up to $50 with the purchase of select digital cameras. Office Depot has all the top brands, including Canon, Nikon, Sony, Kodak, Olympus, and HP. So hurry into Office Depot for big savings during Camera Week and get ready for summer memories. Gift card amount based on 10% of camera price, $50 maximum.
I want the world to know it. I am sleeping, people. Really sleeping. Aches and pains aren't keeping me up, and I owe it all to new Advil PM. That's because new Advil PM combines the multi-pain relieving power of Advil with a non-habit-forming sleep aid. Nothing's proven stronger on tough nighttime pain. I'd write it in the sky, but I'm busy getting my beauty rest.
New Advil PM. Stop hurting and start sleeping.
Use only as directed. Available at participating retailers.
Billions of people will be watching when the World Cup kicks off today in Germany. ABC's Johnny Holiday has a preview.
More than 2.5 billion fans expected to watch the World Cup competition from 12 venues throughout Germany. What's the big attraction for this fan?
It's incredibly exciting, and there's always something changing, and there's always something at stake. And then just the general community of people that like to watch, you know.
The U.S. Open's play against the Czech Republic. Striker Brian McBride says,
if we're going to do well in this tournament, we're going to do well because all 11 of us are on the same page and playing our hearts out.
Johnny Holiday, ABC News, Washington.
Well, some people go to Amsterdam to, shall we say, feed an addiction. Well, now you can go to that city to cure another one. Europe's first detox clinic for video game addicts is open for business with in-house treatment for people who can't keep their hands off the joystick. So far, 20 games. Have checked in. I'm Daria Aldinger, ABC News.
Now, the local report from the WGNU Newsroom.
Good morning, St. Louis. This is Patrick Brandmeier with your WGNU News update for the 7 o'clock hour. In the news this Friday, police want to question the boyfriend of a woman found murdered in East St. Louis. The body of 39-year-old Renee Gillamus was found Wednesday afternoon near the Casino Queen. Gillamus had been shot to death. She was last known to be in St. Louis on her way to meet her boyfriend, Aisha Johnson. Anyone with information is asked to call the Illinois State Police at 618-346-3766. A father charged with the international kidnapping of his daughter is set to appear in court today. Federal prosecutors say Arlen Hill is expected to enter into a plea agreement. Hill allegedly kidnapped his then 17-month-old daughter in 2002. He and his daughter were found last year in New Zealand. One suspect is in custody in a string of credit card thefts at two area hospitals. Town and Country Police arrested one man in connection with the use of credit cards stolen from St. Joseph's Hospital in Kirkwood and Missouri Baptist Hospital. A man and a woman are still at large. Anyone with information is asked to contact Kirkwood or Town and Country Police. A national transportation research group says Missouri needs billions more in highway funding. The Road Information Program's report shows that Missouri is facing a $10 billion shortfall in needed interstate funding over the next 10 years. The report also finds that Missouri's interstates make up only 2% of the roadway lane miles in the state, but carry more than 25% of its traffic. By the year 2026, travel on Missouri's interstates is expected to increase by 40%. Finally this hour, the old Falstaff Brewery is getting a new lease on life. A grand opening was held yesterday for the old brewery, which has been turned into modern apartments. Jack Hambean, the senior vice president of McCormick, Barron, Salazar, says three old brewery buildings and 10 row houses in the area have been converted into apartments.
It's 140 units of mixed-income housing. 25% of it is market-rate housing and 75% of it is affordable.
The buildings were originally turned into apartments in 1985, but renovations and upgrades have recently been made. This WGNU News Report is brought to you by Sonic, America's Drive-In. Try Sonic's tasty and hearty bacon, egg, and cheese breakfast burrito. Make it a combo with Sonic's classic tots or fries and regular coffee or soft drink. Breakfast at Sonic. It's not just good, it's Sonic good. That's your look at local news for the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Brandmeier for Radio Free St. Louis.
Good morning, St. Louis. 7 minutes after the hour of 7 o'clock, AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at the Sowers traffic and weather. Sowers traffic is sponsored by Countdown. Southbound 55 at 4500 South Broadway. That off-ramp's reopened after a clearing of a stalled tractor trailer. Eastbound 44 from Chrysler all the way to Merrimack River Bridge. Look for no problems there. Northbound 55 from Imperial Main to Butler Hill looks good. Northbound 270 at Tappington, then 44. Look for slow traffic going on there. Eastbound 70 at 79, slight delays. Westbound 270 at West Florissant, or New Florissant, all the way into 170. Look for slow traffic in the right lane. Westbound 5570 at the Poplar Street Bridge. Look for paving operations. Right lane's closed and traffic is backed up to near 4th Street, and there's also left lane slowing at this hour. Westbound Kingbridge traffic at the railroad overpass all the way into Laclede's Landing. Look for very heavy volume going on there. Northbound Route 3, those approaches are also stacked up onto the Poplar Street Bridge. Eastbound 40 at Poplar Street Bridge. Paving operations has one right lane closed as you head into the Illinois area, and westbound Eads Bridge is flowing freely this hour. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Account Temps, the industry leader with access to over 1 million highly skilled financial professionals. Call or visit them today at accounttemps.com. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Sunday, for today. Partly cloudy, scattered showers possible, high around 90 this evening. Partly cloudy, another chance for showers. Low in the upper 60s. Saturday, mostly cloudy, 50% chance of showers, high in the mid to lower 80s. And then Sunday, pretty much the same, mostly cloudy, with a chance for showers and a high around 80. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 72 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting partly cloudy skies and 72 degrees as well. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. That's up next. We'll take another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air.
Shot and was killed tonight in Memphis.
I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. If you pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below that the low knee.
I think I'm hearing revolution.
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it.
A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
That all men are created equal. Yet many are denied equal
treatment. And so we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Welcome to this week's edition of Looking Black, a review of issues that have impacted your life this week and where they may take us next from differing perspectives. Here's Liz Brown and our guest journalists for this week.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Looking Black. My goodness, we have pictures of dead men on every news, just about every newspaper out there, New York Times, USA Today, the Financial Times. We have 500-pound bombs being dropped. We have elections won and lost. We have so much to talk about, so let's get to it with our guest this morning, Lynn Washington. He's a columnist with the Philadelphia Tribune. He's joining us from New Jersey. Lynn, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm outstanding. How are you?
Okay, very good.
Good. So, what caught your eye? What you want to talk about?
Where do you want to start?
Where do you want to start? I mean, do we start with one of the conversations that we were having was about the all of these pictures of the dead face of Al Zarqawi, and then you open up the paper and we hear that the King family is or looks like the King papers are getting ready to be auctioned off by an auction house.
Yeah, and they expect to generate millions of dollars by selling the papers.
They said the estate of Dr. Martin Luther King will auction the U.S. civil rights leader's entire collection of more than 10,000 documents. So who's going to, so what do you make of that?
Well, at the very least, and for me, an amateur-type historian, these documents, a lot of them will probably be lost forever. I mean, these are the types of things that should be housed in some sort of museum for posterity, and a lot of them are going to go into private collections. And even if they go into collections like from public universities or something like that, they're not going to be generally accessible to the public. I'm really, kind of disturbed by that, but, a lot of things that have happened, related to Dr. King from his family have been disturbing in the last decade or so.
Because one would think that there would be a central place where the presidents have libraries dedicated to, you know, ashtrays that they receive from the King of Siam, you know, things like that, things that don't really matter much in the future or the history of this country. Every single thing that he touched and he did matters because it's written word.
Right. And it's important for that stuff to be preserved because, as we know, I mean, if we just look at the current administration in D.C., I mean, there's such an effort to rewrite history, even recent history, that if we lose important segments in documentations of history, people could say anything. Just this week, a couple of days ago, a report was issued by a special commission in North Carolina about the a riot in Wilmington, North Carolina, that took place in 1898. One of the myriad of ugly and interesting things related to this is that this is just a straight-out coup d'etat. A white racist mob got rid of the mayor, the city council, burned down a black newspaper, took over the town by armed insurrection. And the U.S. government and the government of the state of North Carolina did nothing, not a single thing. And for over 100 years, this thing had been all but swept under the rug.
How did it come to light?
Well, people, in the minds of the people there, they knew about it. There were a few historical studies here and there, but still a lot of confusion and still a lot of back-turning on it. And a year or so ago, a black legislator down in North Carolina got the authorities to pass legislation to order a study.
And how many people were killed?
They don't know the exact totals. They're saying anywhere from, you know, 30 to 100.
So this is something that happened over 100 years ago.
Yes, sir. It was over 100 years ago. It was in November of 1898.
When that story broke, what was the response to it?
Well, it so often happens. I mean, it's a little story that, you know, comes out regionally. When I say regionally, I mean it's in the regional newspapers, but nothing nationwide. I mean, you know, you don't get the same type of coverage of that you would El Zarqawi. And in many ways, you shouldn't. I mean, you know, we have this big myth that we're trying to perpetuate that somehow we're doing the right thing in Iraq, and it's good to get rid of this guy. And, you know, he's not a good guy, but I found it so ironic. I heard a soundbite from Donald Rumsfeld, the defense secretary, yesterday, and he said, "This guy Zarqawi has more blood on his hands and has caused more deaths of innocent citizens or innocent people than anyone in Iraq." And I'm saying to myself, "What about you?"
You know? So wait a minute. Didn't he put the Iraqi deaths at 30,000?
George Bush?
Didn't he say that there were about 10 to 30,000 Iraqis that have died?
I don't know.
I think he did. I think he did about 6 months back or so. He actually did something that presidents have never done before. He gave a number to it. And it was around, I believe, anywhere between 10 and 30,000 people. So Al Zarqawi has that much blood on his hand.
Well,
But it's all part of that.
He doesn't. I mean, if you add up all of the stuff that he did and if you even multiply it for some of the things that are going to be uncounted, it doesn't add up to that. I mean, when we look at what happened in the Iraqi town of Fallujah last year,
right,
the United States, right after the election, very curiously right after the presidential election, so that would have been 2004, they pulverized that place, flattened it, killed tens of thousands of people. And they were using banned weapons like napalm and white phosphorus.
To do it. And we also have to ask the very difficult question. that a lot of Americans do not want to address because of what happened on 9/11, even though there's no connection between Iraq and 9/11. Mm-hmm. Why was al-Zarqawi in Iraq? Was he there before we got there?
No.
He came because we were there.
Yeah, that's right. This is not a, you know, who came first, the chicken or the egg. It's very clear that the invasion, the illegal U.S. invasion of Iraq was the magnet that drew people like al-Zarqawi there. It was the...
And what was he fighting?
Well, he was just there, I mean...
He was fighting...
He was just there running amok.
But he was there fighting the... I mean, from his perspective, we were there, we shouldn't have been there, so he was there.
Yeah, and he was making war on America, just like America is making war on those people there. Mm-hmm. And I'm not trying to defend this guy, because, you know, when you get down right down to it, you know, Al-Qaeda and a lot of those other people aren't very kind to black people. So I don't have no sympathy for them either. All right, but we have to keep things clearly in focus. And this is something, unfortunately, like the national leadership of the Democratic Party hasn't done. They still try to justify that there was a reason, a rational reason for the invasion. Now, of course, we would have handled it differently, you know, according to them, other than coming right out flat saying that we had no business being in there. Despite how bad Saddam Hussein was, he was only half as bad as many of the dictators that we back currently. I mean, look at this guy.
Well, he was also
Pakistan.
But he was also toothless. Oh. Saddam Hussein, when we that otherwise we would be invading North Korea.
Mm-hmm.
Saddam Hussein was toothless.
That's right.
And we went after a person that didn't have an air force, didn't have a navy, didn't have an army.
You know, they talk about that weapons of mass destruction business. One of the assignments that I give every semester to my investigative reporting students to get them to learn how to research things and dig out facts from newspaper files. I asked them to look at what happened in Iraq in December of 1998. And so they go back and they look in it. And what happened was the United States and Great Britain ran a 10-day air raid. Now, let's understand that from the end of the Gulf War almost up to the actual invasion of Iraq in 2003, the United States and Britain were doing daily bombing raids over Iraq. But in this one particular period in December of 1998, they did a specific targeted bombing raids on what they felt were suspected sites for the manufacture of weapons of mass destruction. Bill Clinton said, well, you know, Saddam is not coming clean with it, so we're going to go in and bomb them. They said that these raids were 98% effective in destroying all of these sites. So if this happened in 1998, how was it that Saddam Hussein, who was under international scrutiny, boycotts, embargoes,
sanctions,
and military offenses,
and sanctions,
how was he able to reconstruct a weapons program in 2.5 years? But we just have this short memory, and part of this short memory is a failing of my industry. The press doesn't inform people of this stuff. Mm-hmm.
And in terms of the press and informing people, can we talk about some of the election results from this week?
Oh, yes.
The Democratic loss in California, the Democrats are spinning it as a, you know, we won when we lost, mm-hmm. but in the fact, we lost and we shouldn't have lost?
You have to give people something to vote for. And I think people are a little tired of just voting against, you know, the lesser of the two evils. And the Democrats, I don't think, and this is not something, you know, that only I'm coming up with, there's a lot of criticism that they're not really providing viable alternatives to people to get them interested to come into the polls. And also, you have to do more than put a good quote-unquote message. I mean, you have to do that grunt work, that down on the streets, knocking on doors, making phone calls, carrying people to the polls, getting them to vote. And the Democrats apparently don't seem to want to invest that type of money, although they have it, in the types of activities that will get people to the poll and vote for your candidate.
Their position is, it feels like, it's just like, don't get mad, get scared. You know, I mean, they retreat more than they move forward. Were there races there that you all were watching in this past election, in this election week?
You know, incredibly, the elections in this area were so quiet. Pennsylvania had its primary election in May, and New Jersey had their primary election earlier this week. And aside from a few, you know, road signs, you know, vote for me, there was hardly any attention to it at all.
Well,
there was more attention directed to the fact that we've had a week's worth of rain than who's going to reign in government. It's fascinating as well as saddening.
Well, then what are we hearing out of the Beltway there? What are we hearing from Washington, D.C. about their take on the election out west?
Well, you know, I monitor these national TV programs, and quite frankly, what they say, I mean, I just dismiss. It's just so much spin and speculation, and in many ways, it's so much effort to really hide the truth and cloud it up, muddy it up. You know, I think it's would like to see more on the fact that the U.S. Supreme Court last week issued a ruling that said that whistleblowers, people whose role and people who have assumed the role to be guardians of democracy and make sure that government operates right, that they don't have any First Amendment rights to any kind of protections. And incredibly, and you being a lawyer, you can appreciate this, because in the legal system, you know, there are rules to make sure that things go right to or operate in a certain way such that the system will be quote-unquote fair.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the underlying case here came out of Los Angeles, where an assistant district attorney called into question a search warrant that the police wanted to use in a conviction. I mean, they used this search warrant to make an arrest, and then, you know, subsequently arrest, you know, they're going to do the conviction. And the guy said, the search warrant is fraudulent. They lied in it. And he wrote a memo to his boss. The boss said, you know, rewrite the memo because we don't want anybody to know about it. The assistant district attorney thought it was his obligation under these rules and regulations to let this information be known. He gave it to the defense. This guy was demoted and all but fired. He brought a lawsuit against the LADA, a guy named Gil Garcetti,
mm-hmm.
and it goes all the way up to the Supreme Court. And interestingly enough, this was the second time that it went up to the Supreme Court, because when it went up last year, it was evenly divided against those who would, you know, grant First Amendment rights and those who would deny it. And then when Sandra Day O'Connor left the court and this guy Alito came on, then you got the 5-4 majority, with Roberts voting with the majority to suppress protections for whistleblowers.
And what's interesting about the case also is where the case comes out of. Given the fact of all of the, or given that the legacy of the abuse of the police in L.A.,
mm-hmm.
given the legacy of the accusations of that type of lawlessness, when we finally, it's like, you know, you don't reward your child. Imagine if a parent rewarded their child only for their bad behavior.
Yeah.
This is reward. This is punishing a person for doing the right thing, and not only just a person, but a prosecutor. It is such a rarity to have prosecutors come out and say things like this, and to think that if you do, you can lose your job.
That's right.
It's really, really frightening about where we are headed.
That's right. And you know, we can give more attention to a witch like Ann Coulter calling the widows of 9/11 victims witches than we give to something as substantive and basic to the functioning of our country and our legal system, like this Supreme Court ruling.
And also that the other part of Ann Coulter's story is how she will, every time that she's on television, she makes money because more of her books are sold.
Yeah.
And that's another piece of where we are right now.
Yeah.
That you get to come on television and say mean, cruel, untrue things about people. And mind you, only one part of the population is allowed to come on and say mean, cruel, and untrue things about other people. Because the other side of the ideological aisle is not allowed to come on television and say mean, cruel, and ugly, untrue things about Republicans.
Right, and furthermore, they can't come on TV and say true things.
There you go.
Accurate.
Let alone lie.
Let alone lie.
We're going to take, I mean, you know, and all we have to do is look at Cindy Sheehan.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, look at how the so-called liberal press has not allowed Cindy Sheehan the same amount of airtime that they're giving Ann Coulter, who hasn't lost anything.
No.
Who hasn't lost anything. The only thing that she has done is made money. The women who have lost cannot come on and talk, but the woman who's lost nothing can. And
right.
She gets to come on and make money.
That's right. Well, maybe she has lost one thing, and that's her mind.
Mm.
But then that presumes that she had any kind of common sense and decency before she sold herself out to these.
Well, and I guess, the question, to me, it is, is she so different than anybody else that's on the airwaves right now?
No.
You know,
no.
So from their perspective, what she's doing is normal and expected.
Yeah. Listen.
But we have to take a break right now.
Okay, sure.
We have to take a break. I'm talking to Lynn Washington. He's a columnist with the Philadelphia Tribune. He's joining us from New Jersey. My name is Liz Brown. This is Looking Black. I'll be back.
But now you never show it to me, do you? Remember when I moved in you, the holy dark was moving too.
Good morning, St. Louis. 31 minutes after the hour of 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by sponsored by Midas. Eastbound 44 at the Chrysler Plant and Merrimack River Bridge. Look for no problems to report there. Northbound 55 at Imperial Main and Butler Hill. Look for no problems there. Northbound 270 at Sappington and 44. Look for slow traffic going on there. Eastbound 40 from Chesterfield Mall all the way in through Timberlake Manor. Look for no problems there. Westbound 270 at West Florissant and 170. Slow traffic in the right lane. And all your bridge approaches are stacked up due to paving operations that are going on in the westbound. You have the right lane, which is slow, and left lanes are slowing down as well. There's one right lane that's closed, and the eastbound, which you happen to have a couple of lanes closed for traffic paving operations as well. Also, westbound 270 at Chain of Rocks Bridge, there's a disabled motorcyclist pushing his bike off the bridge against the right guardrail, so traffic is backed up all the way through Canal Bridge. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Midas. What's the most important safety feature on your car? Midas believes it's the person who does your brakes. Don't trust your brakes to just anyone. Trust America's leader in brakes. Trust the Midas touch. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Sunday. For today, partly cloudy, scattered showers. High around 90 this evening, partly cloudy. Chance for showers again, low in the upper 60s. Saturday, mostly cloudy, 50% chance of showers. Higher in the lower 80s. And Sunday, pretty much the same, mostly cloudy, 50% chance of showers. High around 80. Currently, we have 74 degrees. Lambert Field is also reporting 74. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call. It's Looking Black. That's up next. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Time again to register for the Friday Because We Care drawing. Be the third caller at 454-6660, and your name goes in the box to win a Because We Care package this Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour. The third caller at 454-6660 gets registered. Call now.
Hi, I'm Randy Grimm. Join me Fridays at 12 noon for Animal Tales on AM 920 WGNU. It's an hour of fur, friends, and fun as we discuss the issues that matter most to you and your companion animals. Animal Tales every Friday at 12 noon on AM 920 WGNU.
Woof. This is Dr. Laura Schlesinger. Tune in weekday afternoons from 2 to 4 on AM 920 WGNU. Dial 1-800-DR-LAURA and let's take on the day and learn how to do the right thing.
This is Mark Glass. Tune in after the 5 o'clock news every Friday for What's New at the Movies on AM 920. I sit through the bad ones so you don't have to and give you an early heads up on the good stuff. So for advice on getting the best mileage on your entertainment budget, join me, Mark Glass, for What's New at the Movies, Friday afternoons after the 5 o'clock news on AM 920 WGNU, where we discuss the issues and the movies that matter most to you.
No more calls for the Friday drawing. We have our winner. No more calls at this time, please. Thank you.
Listen to the How Good God Is radio broadcast with Pastor Charles Hilton every Saturday at 5:30 p.m. at WGNU Radio 920 AM dial.
Hi, it's Kevin.
And Sue McCarthy.
Of the Travel Planner Show.
Before you head out for a trip, you want to know how to pack, so check weather at yahoo.com, and then you'll know what to wear when you get there.
Oh, she's so good. The Travel Planner Show, every Saturday afternoon from 2 to 4, here on AM 920 WGNU.
Big Brother is watching, and we're watching Big Brother. It's the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Bryan.
Looking Black, the Week in Review, the Week Ahead, in Differing Perspectives, with Liz Brown.
Welcome back to Looking Black. I am Liz Brown, and my guest to this hour is Lynn Washington. He's a columnist with the Philadelphia Tribune, and he's joining us from New Jersey. Lynn, welcome back.
Hello.
And I want to share with the audience, in case they don't know, some of the things that Ann Coulter did say, because I think it's amazing. And I quote, she's talking about the women that lost their husbands on 9/11 at the World Trade Center, and they happened to also back John Kerry for his presidential candidacy in 2004. And she says, and I quote, "These broads are millionaires, lionized on television and in articles about them, reveling in their status as celebrities and stalked by grief arazis. I've never seen people enjoying their husbands' deaths so much." And she called them a witches and accused them of using their own husband's death for their own advantage.
Yeah. You know, not so long ago, almost yesterday, there's a dynamic in this country when black leaders or blacks of any kind of prominence speak out and say things that people find offensive. There's an effort to go around to all the other black leaders and say, you need to denounce this person. And Farrakhan is the one that always ends up, or, you know, one of the ones that ends up, you know, with these verbal banishment movements. Nothing like that is happening with Ann Coulter. Nothing. You give a few little criticisms here and there, and they're weak criticisms. But there's no demand to say, well, President Bush, what do you think about this? Head of the Republican Party, what do you think about this?
Rudy Giuliani.
Leaders of the, you know, Family Values Coalition, you know, Conservative Family Values Coalition, what do you think about this, and why are you not stepping forward saying that this person needs to, you know, shut up and be removed?
Not only, and the press has the ability to banish people forever.
Yes.
There are some people that become persons non grata?
Yeah, persona non grata.
Persona non grata. And they do that very effectively. There are people that no one will listen to a word of what they say based on what the press has said about them. she's only on television because she's invited to come on television. She doesn't have her own show on television. She's only on radio because she's invited to come on. They're not doing any of that with her. Where is Rudy Giuliani? He was the mayor of New York at the time, wasn't he? He wants to be president, yeah. Doesn't he? Why isn't he not only just denouncing this, but banishing her forever?
Any kind of voice on the conservative side of the equation. When we look at that whole 9/11 issue, people who raise questions about what actually happened,
that's
the variety of actions.
Let's
try to put it in terms. When Cynthia McKinney, the congresswoman, dared to raise the issue that why don't we have an investigation into 9/11 like we do when space shuttles blow up or anything else happens, she was attacked across the country, in the halls of the Senate, in the halls of the House of Representatives.
She was called the B word on the floor of the House.
Yes, yes. But you know, we get something. But you know, this whole issue, what we were talking about, and what you had mentioned right before the break about how certain voices can get into the media and others cannot. I mean, it really gets back to some of the issues that came up in this Wilmington Riot Commission report. One of the things that they said was that, yes, in fact, this was a coup d'etat, and they used that word, you know, a violent overthrow of the government. But they also said that people needed to be compensated for their loss. Not only those who lost property, a lot of people lost property. The first thing that the rioters attacked was a black daily newspaper.
That black
burned
daily.
The building to the ground. So what they were talking about in this commission report was reparations. Now, let's look at the medium that we're using right now, radio. Because of discrimination in America, discrimination that was sanctioned by the force of law and government, the first black person to get ownership of a radio station wasn't until 1949 or 1951. I'm blanking now on the exact date. But the point of it is by the time a black person got one little radio station, there were already radio networks established. There were already budding TV networks at that time. So because of government-sanctioned racism, there was an extreme economic disadvantage.
And not only government-sanctioned racism, we also have to add in the understanding and the mindsets of Americans. Not only did they support the government-sanctioned racism, they embraced it, they defended it, and they passed it on as part of their legacy to the generations, the next generations.
Yeah, Liz, right before you called this morning, I'm reading the Wilmington Riot Commission report. I'm a slow reader, so it's going to take me a long time to read the 500 pages. But as a reporter, I know what sections to go to get what I need. Let me give you a direct quote. White ministers on the Sunday following the riot voiced support for the coup and congratulated the leaders. Ministers went into their pulpits and congratulated the deaths, murders, maimings, and just outrages on black people. There was another minister, although he was a black minister, he was one of the ones that was run out of town. Months later, he was in Boston giving a speech, and he talked about how women were chased out of town, and they had to hide in the swamps in waist-deep water. And this is in November, so the water is cold. And he described how pregnant women gave birth to dead babies in the swamps. And white ministers in North Carolina praised this kind of stuff from the pulpit. So like you said, it is not just government.
Mm-hmm.
It is the whole societal system here in the United States.
What year was this?
This was in 1898.
So this is after Lincoln freed the slaves?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
And this was around the time that the United States invaded Cuba, Puerto Rico, and the Philippines to free those people from Spanish oppression.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, black leaders at the time were raising this hypocrisy How can you go around the world guaranteeing democracy when you can't guarantee safety for people at home?
Guarantee.
The media never picked up on it.
And guarantee safety, you won't even acknowledge that we're not safe.
Yeah.
We're going to take a break, and before we do, I want to remind everybody that the Urban Institute meets every Saturday at 9 a.m. Irene J. Smith and myself, well, it's our think tank, it's our political gathering, it's our discussion time, 9 a.m. at 1020 North Taylor. This Saturday's discussion, Team 4, yeah, 40 years ago, 30 years ago, they were planning to separate and divide the city of St. Louis, and looky. Let's look at what has happened. So be there Saturday morning at 1020 North Taylor, 9 o'clock, Urban Institute.
They write a brand new rule and break it. They lie, they cheat, they steal, they fake it. But I'm gonna make it, Lord, I can take it. I'm not.
You don't have to travel all the way to the mall to visit your Sears. Why don't you visit the only black-owned and operated Sears located at 3425 Union. That's 3425 Union. Sears, where else? Where else are you going to find washers, dryers, refrigerators, stoves, everything you need to make your house a lovely home? How about the outside of your house? A lovely, lovely place. Tractors, tools, everything that you need. Don't go to the mall. Why? Because you don't want to spend $3.50 a gallon to get there. Just go to the Sears right in your neighborhood. It's at Union and Natural Bridge. My name is Liz Brown. When you get to shop on at Sears, tell them I told you to.
Time again to register for the Friday Because We Care drawing. Be the third caller at 454-6660, and your name goes in the box to win a Because We Care package this Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour. The third caller at 454-6660 gets registered. Call now.
The Wake Up Call Global News Update is brought to you this hour by Philip Person Roofing. Free estimates, over 16 years experience. 361-7127, 361-7127.
This is your wake-up call global news update. Dateline Jerusalem. President Bush has offered to open direct talks with Iran and give them some perks if they agree to discontinue their uranium enrichment program. That proposal has caused a split between his conservative supporters and the Israeli government and Jewish organizations. Surprisingly, the Jewish element seems to be willing to go along with the proposal more so than the administration's neoconservative analysts, who say talking to the Islamic regime will empower the current leadership in Iran, and the aim should be to change the regime altogether. One reason why Israel is keeping a low profile on this matter is because a recently published research paper by two widely respected academicians alluded to a wide range of influence that the Jewish lobby has over American governmental policies. In recent years, when administrations went down a path of diplomatic options that ran counter to Israeli intent, there was a loud hue and cry from many Jewish organizations. But that has not happened with this latest proposal on Iran. And Dateline New York. A recently released report says drug companies are taking advantage of poor people by using them as human guinea pigs in tests for new and sometimes dangerous medications. One part of the report says that back in 1996, drug maker Pfizer handed out a new untested drug for a deadly strain of meningitis to 100 children in Nigeria without the okay of the Nigerian government. The drug was later shown to be ineffective, and a lawsuit was subsequently filed over the matter, claiming some of the children died, and others in the test group suffered brain damage. This case is not an isolated one, as a third to a half of the big drug makers do their testing of patients outside the United States and Western Europe. The intent of the companies is to compile data on the medicines so that a presentation can be made to Western governmental regulatory agencies in order to gain approval to markets that are very lucrative in developed countries. The findings are part of a new book called The Body Hunter: How the Drug Industry Tests Its Products on the World's Poorest Patients, written by investigative journalist Sonia Shaw. This is your wake-up call global news update. Brought to you this hour. No more calls for the Friday drawing. We have our winner. Person Roofing is a licensed and certified roofing contractor offering a 15-year warranty on a new modified rubber roof made by GAF, the largest roofing manufacturer in America. Whether commercial or residential, you can finance any new roof with your Visa or MasterCard. For a free estimate, call Philip Person Roofing at 361-7127, 361-7127. No more calls for the Friday drawing. We have our winner. No more calls at this time, please. Thank you.
Prizes awarded on WGNU will be held for pickup at the radio station for 30 days. After 30 days, all items become the sole property of WGNU Radio to be disposed of at our discretion. In the case of event tickets, tickets will be held for 30 days or until the date of the event, whichever comes first. Prizes must be picked up at our studios, which are located at 265 Union Boulevard in St. Louis, unless otherwise specified.
Hi, this is Liz Brown. Yes, we did win the school board election, but our work is not done. So be there this Tuesday at the school board meeting at Carr Lane Middle School at 7 o'clock. Our work is not done. Attend your school board meeting.
Big Brother is watching, and we're watching Big Brother on the award-winning Makeup Call with Liz Brown.
Looking Black, The Week in Review, The Week Ahead, and Differing Perspectives with Liz Brown.
Welcome back, welcome back. My guest this Friday is Lynn Washington. He's a columnist with the Philadelphia Tribune. He's joining us from New Jersey. Lynn, welcome back.
Hello.
As we're talking about this astonishing Wilmington riot commission.
Wilmington riot commission. That's what it's officially called. And if
it's
anybody
five?
Who has an interest in it, they can just go online. It's called the 1898 Wilmington Race Riot Commission. And if you put in Wilmington Race Riot Commission into Google, click, you know, the search button, the first thing will come up with is their report.
And it's 500 pages.
Yeah. They did a lot of study.
What were some of the other things that you found in this report as you were looking through it?
Well, in looking through it, I mean, I have been actually studying this thing on my own for almost 10 years now because I found an obscure reference and I said, wow, this is unusual, and started looking at it some more. But one of the things that I found really interesting was that the recommendations called for, you know, some reparations. One of the recommendations called on the newspapers in North Carolina to admit their roles in this because they were aiding and abetting this by giving voice to, you know, the supremacists that were behind it, writing editorials and other articles very supportive of it. And so they had the commission said that the newspapers need to fess up to their role. They also need to fund scholarships for black students to go to school and study journalism. And this is what I found very interesting about the recommendation. They said that when these students either graduate and or are in college, that they should have internships. But it said that the white papers need to fund internships for these students on scholarships at black newspapers to help build up the black there.
And this was back in the 1800s?
This was in 1898. Now, what I just told you about in terms of the recommendations that what the newspapers should do, that came out of the commission report.
Okay.
But in 1898, the newspapers were very supportive of this kind of action. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that, you know, when you look at the whole ugly reign of lynching, you find that newspapers were very integral in it. The Tulsa riot, which many of your listeners are probably much more familiar with than the
Wilmington
incident in Wilmington. The Tulsa riot, in part, was kicked off by a front-page editorial in one of the newspapers there, you know, that said something about, you know, let's lynch a Negro tonight.
This Wilmington riot,
yes.
Was this the Klan, or was the Klan part of this?
I got to laugh for two reasons. Let me answer your question first. No, it wasn't the Klan that was behind it.
Is it an interesting?
The person who led it and who ended up becoming mayor was a former U.S. congressman who was also a colonel in the Confederacy. Let me read you another passage from this report. Let me find my glasses, but they're gone. Well, anyway, the report said that the mob that burned down the black newspaper there and ran the black editor out of town, was composed of a cross-section of the town, including large numbers of professionals and the clergy. No, these weren't, you know, hayseed eating, tobacco chewing, redneck Klan members.
Hooded Klan members.
These were the upstanding citizens of the town. So when you get back to the point of saying, well, why didn't anybody get arrested for this riot, this insurrection? Why weren't persons held accountable for the deaths, for the thefts of businesses, for this outrage that happened to the women? Well, what usually happens is they bring these things before a grand jury, and the grand jury says, well, we can't identify anybody who was a part of this. We don't know who took part in this. Well, if you have the leading citizens of the town,
congressmen,
leading the mob, congressmen, state legislators,
preachers,
heads of businesses, it is absolutely impossible for not a single one of them to be identified. My other chuckle in reaction to your question is the name of riot.
I struggle with it.
This was an insurrection, and riots seem to indicate that there's some reciprocity there. You know, we beat up on you, you beat up on us. As I indicated, there were scores, if not hundreds, of blacks that were killed. Not a single white person was killed during all of this. Not one.
Did black people fire a single shot?
I can't find any evidence, and, you know, I guess it may be buried somewhere in this 500 pages. Now, in the Tulsa riot.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, folks fought back.
Yes, they did.
They fought back.
Yes, they did.
And so,
in comparing this to Rosewood,
mm-hmm.
is this similar in that, or Rosewood fought back as well?
Yeah, they fought back as well. That was but this is something on a much larger level because it was a much bigger town.
Mm.
And
how
while
big was
the
town?
Same things kind of happened in terms of the death, the destruction, the theft of property, because one of the things that gets lost in this whole equation of lynchings and these white supremacist riots, it just looks like people are, you know, because of hatred and racism. But these were actually very calculated things to steal land and to steal businesses.
The justification being racism.
Yeah. Well, mm-hmm. but you know, there's that self-interest too.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
One of the, in terms of if the Wilmington riot, when they said that. What happened was that after the riot, they had a list of people who they said, you can no longer live here in town. They called them banishments. They ran them out of town. There were several categories of those who were banished. Black leaders who were vocal supporters of full participation in government by blacks. The second group, African-American businessmen and entrepreneurs whose financial success was galling to the white upper and working classes.
Mm. That line from A Rosewood comes to mind. He's got a piano. I don't have a piano. I'd have to work my whole life to have a piano.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that's galling.
Yeah, so there were literally thousands of acres of land that were stolen through this lynch mob violence. And there were literally thousands of businesses that were just taken over. Even despite the deprivations that people endured after the Civil War, not only newly freed slaves, but also people who weren't slaves, there was an accumulation of the of businesses and property and wealth, not comparable to the white community, but certainly far in excess of what you would expect from people who were in slavery. And if you believed what the dominant myth was at the time, that these people were about a half an inch above monkeys in terms of mentality and morals and everything else. And there's a new book that just came out that a friend in Germany told me about. It's called The Color of Wealth, The Story Behind the U.S. Racial Wealth Divide. And it's five women of color, you know, Asian American and African American, and they look at these wealth disparities. And one of the things that they have found is how there's, you know, this concerted action of violence that led to a lot of people losing their businesses, but also, again, these public policies. And they were saying, one of the things they brought up was like the GI Bill. The GI Bill after World War II gave, you know, college education and mortgages and business support to all GIs, but because of structural discrimination, basically only the whites could take advantage of it.
Mm-hmm.
So there was a passage that I was reading, and it just blew my mind. It said that over 2 million white, you know, former GIs got a college education under the GI Bill, but less than 5,000 blacks were able to take advantage of this.
Mm-hmm.
And I was reading something this morning in preparation for a column, a very interesting thing that I kind of refer to quite a bit. But in 1951, a group of black leaders and some white, you know, these are progressive leaders, this is not the NAACP type, filed a petition with the United Nations charging the U.S. government with genocide. And they have over, you know, almost 100 pages of documentation of incidents. And one of the incidents was a guy from a university in Philadelphia. In fact, the school that I teach at, Temple University, he was in Georgia. He refused to say yes, sir, to a white man. He was shot dead in the street.
And that's got to be the last word. I'm sorry. Lynn Washington, thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
All right. Take care. Have a great weekend.
Bye-bye.
Listen, folks, Liz Brown, I'll be back after the news. Stay with me.
That's not progress. The progress is healing the wound. That's the progress
for the issues that matter most. It's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Here's the latest from the ABC News. I'm Daria Aldinger. President Bush will be huddling with his war cabinet on Monday. He'll focus on Iraq and the war on terror. And with the number two man in Al-Qaeda, the U.S. can focus on going after the world's most wanted man. Here's ABC's Martha Raddatz.
You will see some of the assets shift over to the Afghanistan-Pakistan border to try to locate Osama bin Laden. But it's very complicated. It's not just a matter of locating him. There's some politics involved here. You have to deal with the Pakistanis and how they want to cooperate or not.
But eliminating Al-Qaeda may not help the situation much in Iraq.
Al-Qaeda in Iraq is a very small organization, and Al-Qaeda in Iraq is a very small percentage of the overall insurgency, perhaps as much as 5% at the maximum of the overall insurgency.
Former White House counterterrorism chief Richard Clark, now an ABC News consultant. A Michigan teenager is in Jordanian officials' custody. They stopped Catherine Lester as she was about to board a plane to Tel Aviv to meet a man that she met on the website MySpace.com. Her sister Mary says she just hopes the 16-year-old is safe.
Please come home, Catherine, please. We need you.
Lester's mother says Catherine told her she was going to Canada to visit a friend. He made a bomb and he planned to use it to destroy an abortion clinic. That's what Robert Weiler Jr. told police after they found the device in the home of the Prince George County, Maryland man. Authorities failed to disarm the device. The bomb exploded, seriously damaging the house. Weiler's neighbors say they had no idea what was going on inside.
I've been living here for 31 years, so it is scary. I'm completely shocked.
Weiler will be arraigned today. You can get a cheesesteak in Gino's in Philadelphia with mozzarella, American or cheese whiz, but you can't get in Spanish or any other language other than English.
In America, you should speak English. The reason that is because if your loyalty, it should be to America and America only.
That's owner Joe Vento. This is ABC News.
Make this Father's Day one he won't forget with a gift from Lowe's. Choose any of these great gifts for only $39. A Black & Decker 18-volt drill with 75-piece kit and carry bag. Or a Dremel rotary tool with 49 bits and cutters. Or a 10-gallon 4-horsepower shop vac with super quiet motor. Can't make up your mind? Then get a Lowe's gift card or get 10% off your first purchase when you open a new Lowe's consumer credit card account from June 7th to the 11th. This Father's Day, hurry to Lowe's, where you can always find great gifts for great guys. Lowe's. Let's build something together. Offers may vary. See store for details.
After the baby, I started working out and got a pain reliever for my knees. Went back to work, got something else for tension headaches. Baby got big, oh, I got one more for my back. Every new pain, a different pain reliever. But not anymore. Today, I'm all Advil. It's my every pain reliever. Advil works wherever I hurt, so I'm ready for anything. I'm all Advil. Are you all Advil?
Use as directed.
Are you ready for a show about a cat house? No, not that kind of a cat house. Here's ABC's Deirdre Bryant.
10 contestants will live in a house in New York, and you can bet Claws will be out. The 10 are cats chosen from animal shelters nationwide. Over a series of 10 weeks, the kitties will be in contests such as Best Purr and Best Post Climber. When a cat is voted out, it moves into a permanent home, increasing awareness about pet adoptions. Meow Mix House will be shown in 3-minute segments Friday nights on the Animal Planet channel. Voiceovers will give the cats personalities. Some may be shy, others could be real glamour pusses. Deirdre Bryant, ABC News.
You can do just about anything online, and soon that might include being a freelance border agent. The governor of Texas says the popularity of web cameras can be used to turn internet junkies into volunteer guards. Rick Perry has a plan to put live video on the net from hundreds of night vision cameras and even have a hotline to call if you see anything strange. Daria Albinger, ABC News.
Now, the local report from the WGNU newsroom.
Good morning, St. Louis. This is Patrick Brandmeier with your WGNU news update for the 8 o'clock hour. In the news this Friday, police say they have a confession from the man accused of killing a Clemson University student from Ladue. Jerry Buck Inman is charged with murder, kidnapping, and first-degree criminal sexual conduct in the death of Tiffany Sowers. The Greenville News reports that Inman has confessed to Sowers' murder and to 2 recent sexual assaults in Alabama and Tennessee. Prosecutors want Inman moved to a maximum security facility because they believe he's a flight risk. Congressman Todd Akin says the death of al-Qaeda in Iraq leader Abu Musab al-Zarqawi shows that progress is being made in the war on terror. The Missouri Republican says taking out the most experienced terrorist organizer in Iraq is a setback for al-Qaeda.
To have him dead means that there's a lot of experience that's died with him, not to mention the psychological benefit of the fact that we've taken out their top leader.
Akin notes that al-Qaeda has suffered setbacks before and that the death of Zarqawi won't collapse the whole terrorist network. He says another bonus is that killing Zarqawi may scare other terrorist leaders into hiding for a while. The former mayor of Country Club Hills is headed to prison. A judge sentenced Felton Flagg to 5 years in prison yesterday for forgery and theft from his former employer, Zipmail Service. Flagg also pleaded guilty to stealing funds from the city of Country Club Hills and was sentenced to 2 3-year terms, which will run concurrently with the 5-year sentence. Flagg was originally given probation in October, but he was sentenced to prison yesterday because he didn't pay restitution. Finally this hour, Missouri Governor Matt Blunt supports President Bush's request for line item veto power over the federal budget. Blunt and several other governors met with the president yesterday to discuss their use of the line item veto and the need for it at the federal level. The line item veto would allow the president to veto individual parts of bills while still signing the rest of the bill into law. This WGNU News Report is brought to you by Sonic, America's Drive-In. Try Sonic's tasty and hearty bacon, egg, and cheese breakfast burrito. Make it a combo with Sonic's classic tots or fries and regular coffee or soft drink. Breakfast at Sonic. It's not just good, it's Sonic good. That's your look at local news for the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Brandmeier for Radio Free St. Louis.
Good morning, St. Louis. 7 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by tonight's Billy Graham television special. Eastbound Kingbridge traffic at Gravel Pit. There's an accident. Eastbound lanes are blocked. West and eastbound are traffic are sharing the westbound lanes to get past the site at this hour. Northbound 270 at Gravelway and 44, look for slow traffic there. Eastbound 40 from 141 all the way into Mason, look for no problems to report. Eastbound 70 at T.R. Hughes and 79, look for slow traffic there. Westbound 270 at New Florissant and 170, look for slow traffic in the right lane. Westbound 5570 at the Poplar Street Bridge. Paving operations have the right lane closed. Traffic back up through 4th Street. Westbound 64 at 5570. You can expect some delays. Westbound Kingbridge traffic from the railroad overpass all the way into LaQuise Landing. Very heavy volume going on there. Northbound Route 3 is slow onto the ramps as you get onto the bridge. And eastbound 40 to Poplar Street Bridge. Paving operations has one right lane closed. And westbound Eads is flowing freely into downtown. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by tonight's Billy Graham television special. Don't miss American Idol contestant George Huff, real-life stories from survivors of Katrina, followed by a message from Franklin Graham in tonight's Billy Graham special at 7 on KMOV Channel 4. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Sunday. For today, partly cloudy skies, chance of showers, high around 90. This evening, partly cloudy, chance of showers with a low in the upper 60s. Saturday, mostly cloudy, chance of showers, high in the lower 80s. And Sunday, mostly cloudy, once again, another chance for showers with a high around 80. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we're holding at 73 degrees, partly cloudy skies. Lambert Field is 72. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. It's up next. We'll take another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Hi, this is Liz Brown. Yes, we did win the school board election, but our work is not done. So be there this Tuesday at the school board meeting at Car Lane Middle School at 7 o'clock. Our work is not done. Attend your school board meeting.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air, air. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, help me, sister. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, help me, sister.
Give it to you. You were born with power. Well, well, well. Some very sad news for all of you. The people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis.
Say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's the below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Feel my brother, help me, sister.
Truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it.
A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal. Yet many are denied equal
treatment. So we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown. My number is 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. We have so much stuff to talk about, and please don't forget, this Saturday, that's tomorrow. That is tomorrow, the Urban Institute meets once again. Irene J. Smith and myself, we will have our think tank, our political gathering, our workshop to talk about the issues that confront us, confront our community. We will be meeting tomorrow at 9 a.m. at 1020 North Taylor. That's the fire building at 1020 North Taylor. That's right off of Delmar. At 9 o'clock, Continental Breakfast will be served. We'll be discussing the Team of Four plan, how it impacts on the voter ID bill, how it impacts on charter schools, how it impacts on the issue of eminent domain. We have business to tend to tomorrow. You don't want to miss this discussion. Come on down, have a little breakfast, have a little workshop. Irene J. Smith and myself at 9 o'clock tomorrow morning at 1020 North Taylor. That's the Fire Building. And don't forget your school board meeting next Tuesday. I'm looking at a story that came out about Enron observers. I'm looking at two Merrill Lynch executives convicted in their roles in a Nigerian barge deal that inflated Enron's profit. They've been ordered released from prison pending their appeal. This is a story that came out yesterday. Some legal observers say their release could mean some of the convictions in the case may soon be overturned. It seems like, you know, when we look at what's happened in the Enron case, the Enron story, it's like move up, come back. And the fact of the matter is that we should be talking about putting these people behind bars, true fact. We should be talking about keeping these people behind bars, true fact. But we also need to be talking about how Enron happens and what we can do to stop it from happening. Is it a culture? Like the Democrats talk about the culture of corruption in Washington, D.C. Is it a culture? Is it something that's taught? It's not just the people at the top, some of the people at the top are being sought after legally. But I think the question that we should be asking, because while we do have some convictions and while they get to suffer outside of the prison system while they wait for the results of their appeals, and some of them now are walking out of jail entirely, shouldn't we be asking the question of what kind of legacy did Enron leave on those that are not at the top? There, you can't get to the creative corruption that Enron engaged in, the executives engaged in, if there weren't a whole lot of other people helping this along. Did Enron pass on a legacy of corruption to the younger auditors? We need to talk about that. Our guest this morning is Chris Cernell. He's a former CPA with Arthur Anderson to talk about the type of pressures that are put on young CPAs. Chris, good morning.
How's it going, Liz?
How are you doing?
I'm great. Yourself?
I'm outstanding.
Excellent.
I'm outstanding. Chris, you worked for one of these big firms, the firms that have been in the press, the firms that have been under the eye of the press, people that have gone to jail as a result of being part of some of these firms. Is there pressure put on the smaller fish in the big pond?
Yeah, you know what, I think there's a lot of pressures, and obviously when you've got, I worked in Arthur Anderson, there's internal pressures from your own people. There's pressures from clients to auditors, just because your client pays your bills. I mean, we could talk about any number of those pressures in great detail. But there's a lot of that going on. And,
So what do people do as a result of some of these pressures? I mean, can we expect that if there's a certain type of pressure put on CPAs that we're going to continue to see, that these young CPAs are going to grow up to be new Enrons?
I hope not. But I think one of the pressures is just simply that your client pays your bills. And on top of not only the client paying the bills, typically the audit is viewed as kind of a commodity. It's sort of the necessary evil where, a lot of the money these accounting firms are typically making or were making were consulting fees on, computer projects, systems projects, strategic projects, tax projects, other types of things. You kind of get your foot in the door with the audit work and then, try to parlay that into fees in all various other areas. So, again, you've got to do the audit, you've got to give them an opinion, et cetera, et cetera, but you've got fees that if you start rocking the boat on the audit side, there's potential to, upset the client, lose other work, or potentially even lose the audit, which you run into big trouble there. I think post-Enron, some of that has gone away where firms are starting to, you either take the audit or you do the consulting work. You can't do both sides of it. So there's been changes since then. So I guess to answer your question, I'm hoping that the Enron type scenario is going to go away, that we hopefully shouldn't see that kind of thing happen hopefully ever again. But there's still certainly there was those pressures and they still exist to some extent, but hopefully they're a little bit less in nature these days.
Well, talk about the rules that have come down post-Enron, that you can't do both. You can't do auditing and consulting. How are those rules being monitored, and who do they apply to? Is it across the board or only big companies, small companies? How do they work?
I don't know the specifics, but typically it seems that the big firms these days, you kind of pick your poison. You're either going to do the audit or you're going to do the consulting side. There's still additional work the firms will do. If you have the tax work, you might do the audit work as well, and there's other internal audit projects that big firms might do, but you have to disclose the nature of the fees, how much you spent on the audit versus how much you spent on non-audit fees, and I believe the SEC is regulating that stuff, and there's various required disclosures on that. So I think a lot of the firms are just kind of, they don't want to have a $50,000 audit fee and then a $50 million fee for other types of services because it doesn't look right.
Well, explain to us how it worked back in the day, before the changes.
Back in the day, I think the strategy was more or less get your foot in the door by getting the audit with these bigger public companies, where audit fees are a few hundred thousand dollars, and try to leverage that into internal audit projects and computer-based projects and strategic projects and tax projects, and you didn't have to disclose for a while. You didn't have to disclose how much work you were doing that was non-audit. And
break it down for us, Chris. If a company gets their foot in the door, as you say, doing the audit for the chump change of hundreds of thousands of dollars, what's the problem with them doing the consulting work? Does that mean that the audit, that they're not going to say bad things about the audit because they don't want to lose their consulting fee?
I don't want to say that exactly, but that's sort of what I'm getting at. The point is, an audit is something where you've got to go in and play, not play hardball with the client, but it's we're more or less policing what they're doing, making sure they're accounting for stuff properly. Sometimes involves asking tough questions and potentially, making them make some big changes to numbers that they may not be happy with. The other projects are where we're partnering up with the client. So it's ultimately, the issue I think is that it was an independence issue, because how can you be fully independent on an audit saying, going in there non-biased and really, going after these people if there's issues and problems in their books, if you've got all these other things, and again, you don't want to rock the boat too hard. Again, everybody I worked with and all the partners I worked with, I think everybody did their best. I think everybody was I was out of the Chicago office, but everybody, I think, you know, went in and did their job. But you just can't help but say that the pressure is still, even if it was unstated, it was still there, that you don't want to rock the boat too hard, because bottom line is, if you upset one of these clients too much, you might be staring at losing the audit and then ultimately losing all these other fees. And how do you explain that to the top brass at Anderson, that we're losing all these fees as a result of potentially an audit issue that's maybe not that big of a deal?
Well, you're quoted as saying the reason that you left working for Anderson was, and I quote, "Between the scandals and the tons of new rules, it was frustrating. While at Anderson, I just got sick and tired of working 100 hours a week, finding potential errors and issues, only to see the client ultimately was given an auditor's clean opinion by Anderson managers."
Yeah, I was a senior at Arthur Anderson. We're 24 years old. I probably did 75 to 80% of the audit work, the field work. Myself and my staff would do that, and we'd find potential issues, bring them up to managers, partners, other people, and we'd never really see how those issues got played out. I mean, in some cases we'd be involved in that, but it just kind of seemed like there was a effort made to have issues not go away. And again, I don't think people were sweeping things under the rug, but there's gray areas in accounting, and there's some creativity that can be employed. It just seemed like it always kind of got employed, and it was one of those things where you work, 100-hour weeks for a month, and then find all sorts of things, and then at the end of the day, it would just kind of go away, and you'd issue a clean opinion every single time. And bottom line is, nobody's books are going to be perfect, and I understood that, and I still understand that, but it just seemed like we probably could have been a little bit tougher on some of these clients along the way.
And do you see, Chris, the rules and the regulations that are coming in now, are they going to, from your perspective, are they going to, or can they really address the issue that you just raised?
You know what, I think so. I think this, unfortunately for accountants these days, it's created a lot of jobs. You've got the Sarbanes-Oxley Act, which requires deep, thorough internal controls assessment and audit. There's also a separate opinion that comes with that. In addition, like I said, you've got to disclose more things about audit versus non-audit fees, and most companies aren't even doing both anymore. And certainly, obviously, the high-profile, the Enron case being so high-profile, you've got CEOs and CFOs and presidents and board of directors on top of everything. Nobody wants to go to jail, I don't think. So, certainly near term, I think, everybody's all over this thing, and I think a lot of the rules hopefully should stick long term. I think we've already seen a pretty good change in how serious people take this stuff. At the same time, it's created a lot of probably, I don't want to say work that's unnecessary, but there was probably a bit of an overkill on the reaction to it, but at the same time, given a scandal this size and given the amount of people affected by this, the employees of Enron and actually probably the entire economy of the United States, it's tough to say that anything was really too much. So,
do you think that the business of CPAs, the business of the Arthur Andersons and Enrons out here, do you think that their reputation took a hit from this? Do you think it was a fair hit?
From Arthur Anderson's perspective, Arthur Anderson is no more as a result of this, of the whole scandal.
Right.
And actually, Arthur Anderson was acquitted of all charges against them. I think not that long ago, six months ago, the Supreme Court threw the case out against them. So I guess being a former Anderson alum, I didn't think that was fair at all to bring an entire firm down over what I thought was more or less just them handling the PR in a bad way. The whole Arthur Anderson people are shredding documents. Well, anybody that works in public accounting knows that shredding documents is a part of daily procedures and required procedures. We don't keep everything just like any business. and it wasn't that we were shredding sensitive documentation. We were just doing our jobs on that stuff. That's nothing illegal about it. And Anderson unfortunately didn't realize that it was a PR battle until about 6 weeks into the whole case, and we were already dead in the water at that point. So, you know, I think Anderson's reputation got smeared. I think we're again, given that the Supreme Court threw out the case against the firm, I think that should clear things up. But certainly the big five accounting firms, big four, I guess, have, you know, certainly taken, again, their reputations have taken a hit. I think rightfully so in some cases, just that, hey, we've got to be a little bit more careful about this stuff.
How long were you a CPA with them?
I worked there for 4 years.
And now you are?
Now I'm a rock star.
And I know that you're happier.
You know what? I'm happier, and actually I'm still working 100-hour weeks, and I'm doing more accounting and business than ever. I know it's tough to believe, but you know, there's more integrity and there's more happiness these days. So for sure.
And you are more in control of your life.
Exactly, exactly.
So Chris, if people wanted to find out about your band, where would they go?
They go to escapefromearth.com. The band's name is Escape from Earth, and there's music, and we're putting out a new record and doing all sorts of tours. I'm sure we'll be down in St. Louis sometime this summer. We're down there all the time. So.
And isn't one of your songs about your old life at as a CPA?
Well, you know, it's about a lot of things, and that's certainly part of it. It's a song called "Who Do I Have to Kill?" It's not about killing anybody, but just about the frustrations of kind of playing the games and you know, kind of just sick of the system and time to move on, and just, you know, who do I have to kill to get off this merry-go-round is sort of what I wrote the song around, and just, again, getting away from accounting and doing my own thing. So, yeah, pretty much.
I like that. Who do I have to kill? Chris Cernell, thank you so much for joining me on the wake-up call this morning.
Thanks, Liz.
Take care. Listen, bye-bye. Folks, this is Liz Brown. I'll be back after this break. Stay with me.
Trouble and a rough way to go. Said it's a hard road to travel and a rough way to go. But I can't turn back. My heart is fixed, my mind's made up. I'll never stop in my faith.
Good morning, St. Louis, 31 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton. We'll look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by tonight's Billy Graham television special. Eastbound Kingbridge at the Gravel Pit is closed due to an accident. Left lane is also blocked. Westbound, both east and westbound are alternating one lane westbound to get through the site. Expect long delays at this hour. Westbound 255 at Jefferson Barracks Bridge. Maintenance operations going on there. Northbound 270 at 44 is returned back to normal. Eastbound 40 from 141 to Mason. Look for no problems there. Eastbound 70 from T.R. Hughes at 79. Slow traffic westbound 270 at New Florissant and 170 slow traffic in the right lane as well. Southbound 55 at Bayless. There's road construction going on there. The King Bridge and the Poplar Street Bridge, you can expect some delays, especially on the Poplar Street Bridge, as they're paving in both directions, and you have several lane closures, so just slow down and use caution. The East Bridge is slow from mid-span all the way into downtown as well. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by tonight's Billy Graham television special. Hear real-life stories of struggle and triumph in the aftermath of Katrina, and an inspiring message from Franklin Graham in New Orleans in tonight's Billy Graham's television special at 7 o'clock on KMOV Channel 4. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Sunday. Today, partly sunny, chance of showers, high around 90. This evening, partly cloudy, chance of showers, low in the upper 60s. Saturday, mostly cloudy, 50% chance of showers, high in the lower 80s. And Sunday, mostly cloudy, once again with a chance of showers and a high around 80. Currently, we have 74 degrees. Lambert Field is also reporting 74. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call. It's up next. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 9 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Time again to register for the Friday Because We Care drawing. Be the third caller at 454-6660, and your name goes in the box to win a Because We Care package this Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour. The third caller at 454-6660 gets registered. Call now. Thinking about moving? Think Allstate. If you're looking for some cheap fly-by night, this is not the place to call. If you're looking for first-class service in local and long-distance moving, Allstate is the only choice. Celebrating 77 years of service to St. Louis and the nation. Allstate Transworld Van Lines, 314-389-6200.
Hi, this is Leora Daniels, and I invite you to join me every Saturday morning from 8:30 to 9 for good gospel music and church news on the Highway to Heaven broadcast. Start your Saturday off right with me, Leora Daniels, and the Highway to Heaven broadcast. Saturday mornings at 8:30, right here on WGNU.
This is Dr. Laura Schlesinger. Tune in AM 920 WGNU every Monday through Friday from 2 to 4. Dial 1-800-DR-LAURA, then go do the right thing.
No more calls for the Friday drawing. We have our winner. No more calls at this time, please. Thank you.
Just like a well-built house needs a good design and plan, so do our lives. This is Sandy.
And this is Bobby.
Two life coaches. Please join us as we take your questions about designing your life. We'll discuss life planning, following through, and the obstacles that get in the way.
This is your weekly chance to get some answers you've been looking for. We hope you'll join us on The Design Life on WGNU every Monday afternoon from 4 to 5.
The Struggle for Fairness on the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Them that's got shall get. Them that's not shall lose. So the Bible says, and it still is news. Mama may have, Papa may have, but God bless the child.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. All right, conspiracy folks, you tell me. Help me with this. Help me with this. The story out of USA Today. Windmill projects are still for now. Now, this is, I'm still hot, and I'm going to stay hot about the fact that the gas for my truck is $3.09 a gallon. $3.09 a gallon. So this is a story out of USA Today. Worries that giant electricity-producing windmills may interfere with aviation radar have thrown several major wind power projects into disarray and threaten to derail a rapidly growing source of domestic energy. All right. Conspiracy folks, are you with me on this? Are you with me on this? Let me see. We have an administration that says there's no such thing as any stinking global warming. There's no such thing as global warming. We have an administration that is addicted to oil. We have an administration that has engaged in preemptive war in order to keep control of oil. We have an administration that sees no never mind about the Exxon Mobils out here having the highest profit in the history of the corporate world. Billions and billions and billions of dollars of profit while our gas prices go up. We have that kind of administration, an administration that is hell-bent on preserving the way of life for the oil industry. Now this administration is saying, oh, this alternative domestic energy thing that's free that's going to create electricity. No, we need to put these windmills down because, let me see, what can they do? What can they do? They interfere with our radar. They interfere with our radar. You believe that? Do you believe that? Congress passed a law in January requiring the Defense Department to study whether windmills interfere with radar. Let me see. The same Defense Department that's building palaces, and they're calling them embassies, permanent palaces in Iraq. They said no. I mean, they said, yeah, it interferes. A spokesperson for the American Wind Energy Association says up to 15 projects are on hold after the FAA notified the industry group this year that they would create a, quote, presumed hazard. Now, what does this do to the wind industry? The free, wind's free, right? You don't have to, touch a penguin anywhere to get at wind. So what does this government designation of presumed hazard mean? It means that it's difficult for the wind industry to obtain financing and insurance for their project. And I quote, it's very uncertain and very unclear why these things are happening now and they've never happened before. We've had wind stuff up forever. It's just another example of where in the United States the renewable energy industry is always swimming upstream. The FAA and the military say that they're not trying to halt construction of windmill projects, but they must ensure that the generator farms don't compromise aviation safety or national defense. Huh. Who let the dogs out? All y'all that said, all y'all that embraced, all of y'all that submitted yourself, you showed your belly like a puppy that wants you to know he submitted to your will. You rolled over on your back and you showed your belly after 9/11 and you said, oh, dear government father, protect me. I will submit myself to your will. And let you do whatever you need to do to keep my poor dumb behind safe. That's what you said. And because the powers to be covet power more than anything else, they said, bet! We're going to do everything based on national security. Because you rolled over on your back, you showed them your belly, and you said, I submit to your will. I will sacrifice my constitutional rights on your altar of law and order. And so now, one of the nasty repercussions of that submission by America, that submission, that belly-showing, weak-willed act that we see in our Democrats as well, we're seeing now. They're all full of themselves. Everything's national security. Need to change your locks on your house? No, it's national security. You need to check with me first and then give me a key. Windmills that have been up here forever. Now, for the first time in history, the Defense Department is saying no. Because of national security, in the interest of national security, we're going to have to shut you down for a minute. We're going to have to shut you down for a minute or two. 454-0400 is my phone number. The 454-6609 is my fax. I'm just saying, is it a coinkydink that an administration that hates renewables, that loves the oil industry, that protects the oil industry, that defends the oil industry, and makes money off of the oil industry, is it any coinkydink that administration would come up with a way to slow down the progress of anything, any energy-producing entities outside of the oil industry? Is it a coinkydink I don't think so. And you don't have to be a conspiracy nut to get there. 1-877-920-WGNU, 1-877. That's my long-distance number. My email is revolution@lizbrown.com. My name is Liz Brown. And I want to remind you all that tomorrow at 9 a.m. at 1020 North Taylor, let the discussions begin. We're going to be talking about Team 4, the historical impact of it, the 30-year legacy of it, how it's connected to charter schools, how it is connected to the voter ID bill, and how it is connected to eminent domain. Oh, yeah. It's all connected. It was a plan. And we need to make our own plan. You need to come tomorrow at 9 o'clock. Irene J. Smith and myself, Urban Institute, U of I. You need to come on out tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock. Continental breakfast will be served. My name is Liz Brown. This is the wake-up call. We're going to take a break. You need to get up. You need to get to me.
This is your wake-up call global news update. Dateline New York. The housing industry appears headed for a sharp downturn in very short order. The number of unsold homes on the market is up by more than a million over the last year, and the number of new and existing homes waiting for a buyer is close to 4 million. Home prices have continued to rise by about 12% the first part of this year and have gone up by about 60% over the last 5 years. But with more properties going unsold, sellers will have no choice but to drop prices soon in order to start moving them. And Dateline Oslo. Government officials in Norway announced this week that it's going to pull its oil investment funds out of Walmart stock because of serious and systematic abuses of human and labor rights. The fund totals $240 billion, and over $400 million of it was in Walmart stock at the end of last year. Norway also said it's removing its investments from a global mining group because of concerns over environmental issues. Norway has rejected a number of companies from investments because of ethical concerns over the past years. Some of the reasons behind the dumping of Walmart include pressuring workers to put in overtime without getting paid for it, discriminating against female employees, and opposing all efforts to unionize workers. Norway's central bank manages the investment fund and had asked Walmart to respond to the allegations last fall, but the company refused to do so. This is your wake-up call global news update. Time again to register for the Friday Because We Care drawing. Be the third caller at 454-6660, and your name goes in the box to win a Because We Care package this Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour. The third caller at 454-6660 gets registered. Call now. Recently in St. Louis, some changes were made in health care providers, and we at ConnectCare want you to know that sometimes change can be good. ConnectCare. Still connected to the community. ConnectCare is now your specialty care clinic hub. If you or your loved one is dealing with kidney disease, you can contact one of ConnectCare's renal specialists at our renal clinic, dedicated to improving the quality of life and providing optimal care for patients with chronic and acute renal disease. At ConnectCare, we have 14 specialty care clinics to serve your healthcare needs. Our specialty care clinic hub includes specialty clinics dealing with arthritis, ENT, GI, orthopedics, and a women's specialty clinic. At ConnectCare, the physicians and staff at our specialty clinics are committed to the philosophy that the best care is provided by those with the greatest commitment to their community. ConnectCare. Still connected to the community. No more calls for the Friday drawing. We have our winner. No more calls at this time, please. Thank you.
This is Dr. Neil Clark Warren, founder of eHarmony.com. And I'm just thrilled to be able to tell you that an average of 90 people who met on eHarmony.com get married every single day. 90 people every day.
When I first met him, I knew.
I knew she was someone I wanted to spend the rest of my life with.
At eHarmony.com, every match you receive has been carefully selected to be compatible with you based on 29 dimensions crucial for a thriving long-term relationship.
eHarmony matches you at a deeper level. It's the best thing that's ever happened to me.
Dating sites match on a picture and a paragraph. At eHarmony, we match you at the deepest levels, and it simply works. To the tune of 90 people who fall in love and get married every single day. So if you're looking for the love of your life, log on to eHarmony.com. Get your compatibility profile, a $50 value, free. eHarmony.com.
What do hair, feet, wings, and a tiara all have in common?
Find out in the ladies' room every Tuesday and Thursday from 4 to 5 p.m.
It's the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much to talk about.
314-454-0400. 1-877-920-WGNU. The award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown right here on AM 920 WGNU.
A voice for those that should be heard. This is the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the wake-up call. My name is Liz Brown, 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. One of the ladies at the Duke University that was involved was there the night that the Duke University lacrosse team players were have been accused of rape. According to documents, Kim Pittman, 32 years old, told the police on March 20th and March 22nd that she had been with the woman who said she was raped but for 5 minutes the night of the party, and that any accusation of the sexual assault was crock. Ms. Pittman has since said that she is not sure what happened. The defense lawyers, and this is just an amazing story that it's making the papers, because this is all from the defense perspective. Normally, defense attorneys are unable to get their side of the story in papers, to get an entire article written from the perspective of doubt on the side of their clients written. That's unusual. The papers favor the side of the cops. The papers generally favor, historically favor, the side of the prosecutor. Why is this case different? Oh, it's not about the crime. It's about those who stand accused of the crime. The defense lawyers, and they get their names in the paper as well, they said that the judge had been misled because he was not told that Pittman had contradicted the timeline, that the accuser had given different accounts to the police and medical personnel, and that she appeared to be intoxicated. They're saying that now they're attacking the judge. They are also seeking to suppress evidence gathered after the players' photos and DNA tests, including the women's identification of the three suspects, DNA findings that may link one suspect to genetic material found on her fingernail. These are routine motions that are filed in every single criminal case. You always file motions to suppress. It's nothing new. It's nothing sensational. It's nothing. It's routine. Every criminal defense attorney files their motions to suppress, because if you don't, you can't raise the issue. So you file them. You file them. And what do we get out of the simple routine filing of a motion to suppress in a criminal case? Why, we get a, I don't know, what is this, a 12-inch long column in the New York Times. We get a story in USA Today. We get a story in the Wall Street Journal. Simply by filing and doing the things that they normally do. Another defense attorney said that I'm asking the court to dismiss all charges. Of course you are. That's what all defense attorneys do. Nothing new under the sun. There was no medical evidence to show that the woman had been raped or injured. That's your opinion. That's your defense. That's what you have been hired to do, is to defend your client. And you're doing the rudimentary types of things. You filed the motions that you were supposed to file. The filings by the defense attorneys on Thursday also quoted details from the medical examination of the woman by doctors and a sexual assault specialist. 23 pages of medical records were attached in a sealed envelope. The lawyer said that the medical report showed no other injuries except for the woman complaining of tenderness over her body, a scratch on her knee, and a laceration on her heel, neither of which was bleeding. They got their whole defense case out here. They got their whole case out here. Why is the press paying attention to this? Witnesses change their mind every day of the week. Witnesses appear to change their minds every day of week, and every day of week in every criminal case in America. Why is this one there? Is it about the crime? Or is it about these are three white men that are accused of raping a white woman, a black woman? And how hard is it for this society to deem who's the victim in that case and who is not? And trust me, it is always about the poor, poor male in a rape case. It's not exclusive to race. You will have things said about women that would never be said about men. This judicial system, historically, has always favored the white male accused rapist. Now, black men, on the other hand, the system has worked very, very swiftly of a black man accused of raping a white woman. But white males accused of raping anybody, have it very, 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 the system favors them. And this case is no exception. Why did they submit the medical records in a sealed envelope? Why can't we see what records that they've attached to it? And what's fascinating also is that the woman's father was contacted and said that her daughter was seeing a psychiatrist, and she was in no condition to testify. I don't know how long it'll be before she gets back to her right frame of mind. It could be years. He said that he believed his daughter's account of the matter, and he hoped that the district attorney would move ahead with the case. And the prosecutor was not quoted in this article at all. So what we have here is a complete defense, pro-defense article, almost entirely a pro-defense, raising the reasonable doubt, because that's all the defense attorney wants. They want to try their case in the press, but most of them are unsuccessful because the press favors the prosecution. Not in this case. He's doing quite well in raising his issue and defending his clients. 1-877-920-WGNU. 1-877-920-WGNU. I'm Liz Brown. I'll be back after this. Stay with me.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brothers, how can I listen? I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brothers, how can I listen?
It is time for us to use our power. For power, nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Some very sad news for all of you, the people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis.
Say that progress is being made. If you pick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brothers, how can I stand?
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it.
A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal, yet many are denied equal.
And so we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
For the issues that matter most, it's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Alden.
We did, in fact, see him alive. There was some kind of movement he had on the stretcher, and he died shortly thereafter.
Major General William Caldwell, a military spokesman in Baghdad on the death of Abu Musab al-Zarqawi, the leader of al-Qaeda in Iraq, turns out he did not die in the airstrike earlier this week. Instead, he was critically injured and died shortly thereafter. His remains are being analyzed at the FBI crime lab in Quantico, Virginia. The results are expected in a few days. We're also learning more about how a top-secret military unit found him.
Little by little, the secret task force 145 was able to gather information about who were the people in his command structure. And 3 weeks ago in Amman, Jordan, a lieutenant was captured and gave the names of the spiritual leader and certain safe houses.
ABC News Chief Investigative Correspondent Brian Ross. The violence continues in Iraq. 5 civilians were killed in a firefight. An Australian security guard and 3 others died in a roadside bombing. Police found the bodies of 5 men shot in the head, and an Iraqi oil ministry official was kidnapped. Never happened. That's what a stripper who worked at a party at a house owned by the Duke University lacrosse team is saying. It's where another dancer at the party claims 3 players raped her. ABC News senior legal correspondent Chris Cuomo explains.
There are allegations that the second dancer had made suggestions that she didn't believe that there could have been an attack, that any allegations the alleged victim would have made would be a crock.
And the second stripper says the alleged victim was only missing for a few minutes. One of the world's most popular sporting events kicks off today. Germany will play Costa Rica. Poland takes on Ecuador in the opening games of the World Cup. And this year, the U.S. has a shot at winning the whole thing, and that doesn't surprise midfielder DeMarcus Beardsley.
We're good players. You know, we know that we're a great team, and we know that we have good players.
About 3 million will be in the stands for the matches. Billion more watching on TV. This is ABC News.
Make this Father's Day one he won't forget with a gift from Lowe's. Choose any of these great gifts for only $39. A Black & Decker 18-volt drill with 75-piece kit and carry bag. Or a Dremel rotary tool with 49 bits and cutters.
for a 10-gallon, 4-horsepower shopvac with super quiet motor. Can't make up your mind? Then get a Lowe's gift card or get 10% off your first purchase when you open a new Lowe's consumer credit card account from June 7th to the 11th. This Father's Day, hurry to Lowe's, where you can always find great gifts for great guys. Lowe's. Let's build something together. Offers may vary. See store for details.
After the baby, I started working out and got a pain reliever for my knees. Went back to work, got something else for tension headaches. Baby got big, oh, I got one more for my back. Every new pain, a different pain reliever. But not anymore. Today, I'm all Advil. It's my every pain reliever. Advil works wherever I hurt, so I'm ready for anything. I'm all Advil. Are you all Advil?
Use as directed.
You've probably heard about the hooligans at the World Cup, the fans who get really out of hand, but officials in Germany may be worried about something even more serious, terrorism.
There may be some healthy worries, but German security officials insist there are no known concrete threats out there. However, they seem ready for anything from global terrorism to drunken hooligans. On the streets, local cops are everywhere, and a handful of police from visiting countries like Britain are there as well. At this stage of the game, fans are being urged to come and enjoy. It's as safe as it can be.
ABC's Tom Rivers in London. You can get a look at little Shiloh Novell, Jolie Pitt, in the new issue of People magazine. Her proud parents sold the photos for a few million. The proceeds will be going to charity. But Brad, we're still wondering, why Namibia?
They've been so gracious to us and made our stay here very special. And because of that, we've had an incredible time with our family, exploring the country, and a truly peaceful birth of our daughter.
Daria Albinger, ABC News.
Now, the local report from the WGNU newsroom.
Good morning, St. Louis. This is Patrick Brandmeier with your WGNU news update for the 9 o'clock hour. In the news this Friday, Washington County authorities are looking for a man who's been missing for more than a week. 25-year-old Lane Arthur Vitt was last seen on June 1st buying a shotgun from a Potosi pawn shop. Authorities say he then made a call to the IRS. Vitt is described as 5'7" and 130 pounds and was last seen wearing camouflage pants, brown boots, a long-sleeve gray and light blue striped shirt, and a black ball cap. Congressman Russ Carnahan is calling the death of al-Qaeda leader Abu Musab al-Zarqawi an important step. The Missouri Democrat says Zarqawi was the most vicious terrorist the world has ever seen, but says there are still active terrorist networks in Iraq and the rest of the world. He says the U.S. needs to fight terrorism on a broader scale and not be so obsessed and preoccupied with Iraq. The assets of a St. Louis-based spinal cord research charity will remain frozen. Attorney General Jay Nixon says he's secured a 3-month extension of the freeze on the assets of Gateway to a Cure. Nixon sued the charity last month, alleging that people who bought raffle tickets weren't told about when the raffles would be held. The charity has 4 raffles pending, 2 of which started ticket sales in 2003. Finally this hour, 2/3 of the states are failing to provide satisfactory lessons on world history in the classroom. A report released yesterday shows Missouri ranked in last place when it comes to teaching students about world history. Michael Petrilli, the Vice President for National Programs and Policy at the Thomas B. Fordham Foundation, says Missouri can and should take steps to improve in this area.
There are states that have done a good job setting world history standards, and what Missouri could do is simply look to those states and adopt their standards, or at least learn from them and adopt something similar. You know, Indiana, not too far away, received an A. They do a very good job.
Petrilli also says the pressures of the No Child Left Behind Act could be the reason why world history is being narrowed in the curriculum. California did the best out of all the states in providing students with a solid grounding in world history. This WGNU News Report is brought to you by your local RE/MAX office. Looking to buy or sell a home? Search with RE/MAX. At RE/MAX.com, they have millions of listings and outstanding results. Visit them at RE/MAX.com. That's your look at local news for the 9 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Brandmeier for Radio Free St. Louis.
Good morning, St. Louis. 7 minutes after the hour of 9 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Account Temp. Southbound Bayless, there's construction work. 2 right lanes are closed. Eastbound 78 Z Bridge, look for bridge maintenance operations there. The main concerns this hour are westbound 5570 Poplar Street Bridge, paving operations, right lanes closed, traffic backed up near 4th Street, and eastbound 40 across the Poplar Street Bridge. Right lane is closed. There are no delays this hour. Westbound East Bridge front is slow from mid-span all the way into downtown. And in both directions, look for no problems to report on 40 at Hanley. Rob K at O'Fallon, there's an accident being cleared by emergency crews, and that is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by AccountTemps, providing highly skilled financial temporary professionals for over 58 years. Call or visit them today at AccountTemps.com. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Sunday. For today, partly cloudy, scattered showers, high in around 90 this evening, partly cloudy, chance for showers, low in the upper 60s. Saturday, mostly cloudy, 50% chance of showers, high in the lower 80s, and Sunday, mostly cloudy, once again, chance for showers with a high around 80. Currently, we have 77 degrees and partly cloudy skies. Lambert Field is reporting pretty much the same. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. That's up next. We'll take another look at your news and your weather in the 10 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Hi, this is Liz Brown. Yes, we did win the school board election, but our work is not done. So be there this Tuesday at the school board meeting at Carr Lane Middle School at 7 o'clock. Our work is not done. Attend your school board meeting.
Hi, this is Danny Glover, and you're listening to the Wake Up Call with Liz Brown on WGNU.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air.
Tonight. I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. If you pull it all the way out, that's not progress. Your progress is healing the wound that's below that below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution.
Splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it.
A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal, yet many are denied equal.
And so we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. My number here is 1-877-920-WGNU. Ha 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 ha. Well, we started the show this morning with a caller adamant about the death of Al Zakari. a caller who wanted to single him out as an animal, and it's good that he is dead. We have the unrelenting stupidity of elected officials like Carnahan, who has joined in with this caller's assessment. He was the worst terrorist on the in the history of what was the quote, Howard? We had a remarkable statement.
The worst terrorist that the world has ever seen.
The worst terrorist that the world has ever seen. That was the brilliance from the mouth of a Carnahan out here. The caller implored me to, what about his family? He beheaded people. What about the families of the people that he's beheaded? Okay. And I apologize to my listeners out here. I had this in my mental Rolodex. I don't know why I didn't recall it at the moment that I needed to recall it. Let's do this. Let's talk about the family of the man that was beheaded by Al-Zaqqari. Michael Byrd. Remember Nick? His son Nick was beheaded. What does the family of Nicholas Berg think about Zaqqari? He says, and I quote, "Let's talk about the family." He felt that no sense of relief at the killing of Al-Zaqqari. That's what Michael Berg, the family, said. He said, "President Bush is responsible for my son's death." That's what the family of the person, it just grates at me to hear people attempt to crawl up on the backs of people who they don't know to beat out some kind of political agenda. You didn't know Terri Schiavo, but you were all up on her back speaking on behalf of her. Why pushing your political agenda? You don't know the Berg family, but you all up on their back pushing your political agenda. We're glad this animal's dead, because we care about the Berg family. No, you don't. You don't know them. And glorifying in the death of another human being is monstrous. And particularly one, people, you know, if somebody kills your somebody that you love, you're entitled to whatever feelings you feel. I'm never the one to say that you shouldn't feel what you feel about your own personal loss. Or even if you know somebody and that person is no longer with us and that person had done something to you, I'll even get with that you have some personal knowledge about a person. And you are happy about that person's not having a presence on the planet Earth anymore. I can even get with that. I can understand that. And you have a place to argue from because that person did something personally to you. I'll even get with that. You don't know the Berg family. You don't know anything about them, but you act like you some kind of wonderful person out here that is articulating and defending and marching on the principle of the pain of somebody else. Shut up. You don't know what you're talking about. And the only thing that you're doing is pushing the agenda of a people, of an entity, of a group, of a cabal that doesn't give a horse's patoot about you. That's what you're doing. The father of Nicholas Berg says George Bush is responsible for the death of his son. And he has no relief in the alleged death of Al-Zaqqari. Now what? Now whose back are you going to crawl up on top of and wail out obscene things and say you're doing it? It's for the family. I'm doing this because of what happened to the family.
shut up, sit down, and get out the way, because you don't know what you're talking about. Randy.
How you doing, Larry?
I'm outstanding.
George Bush is the terrorist. He's the mass murderer. Let's add it up. Let's see how many people this man has killed and how many people George Bush has beheaded with cruise missiles in neighborhoods. Do you know what a 500-pound bomb does to everybody around it in the neighborhood? I'm talking blocks. It blows little children's eardrums out who are close enough to the explosion and the impact. This man is a brutal thug.
And what's fascinating to me, what is fascinating to me is that, okay, if we are going to measure out criticisms, if we are going to accumulate the stats to defend a criticism, then let's be logical about this. Let's be logical. Let us count up the number of dead on one side, the number of dead on the other side. Let's count up and articulate out the reasons for the dead on this side, the reasons for the dead on that side, and then let us draw a reasonable, logical conclusion. And why are we, why is the United States in Iraq bombing anybody?
Yeah, all based on lies.
Based on lies.
And then they show this.
What did they do to us?
They showed a picture of this man all over the news. You know, it just reminds me of the pictures of black people who were lynched in this country and how white people used to sit around and gloat about it.
Well, let's be clear. There was a legacy and a time in this country where not only was there great satisfaction in seeing a dead body of African descent, but they were put on postcards as well.
Yeah, castrated and whatever else, you know, pieces of their body given away as souvenirs. This is a sick country, and they just have a bloodlust. And it was based on, if I go out and kill a man because I thought he killed my brother, and then I find out that the man had nothing to do with it, I'm still a murderer.
Mm.
So you keep dropping your bombs over there, and you keep killing innocent people, and it still isn't going to change the way I feel about him. He's a thug, and he's a mass murderer. And you have a good day, Liz.
Thanks for your call. 454-0400 is my phone number. Get to me. William.
Liz.
Yes.
I have two things to state. And one is the moral fiber of this country and the call you're speaking on. When those airplanes hit this country, hit the World Trade Center, you heard outcries of people in third world countries, Saudi Arabia, such. They're laughing in the streets. They're celebrating. We have innocent people dead, and they're celebrating of our hurt. And what is it that caller did? That very same thing that you accused those people of is the exact same thing you did yourself. Now, another thing that I was speaking on that caller is that lawyers like to look at timelines, correct?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Okay. Looking at the timeline, which one did you hear first? Which one did you know of first? Musawi or Bush? Which came first? Now, thusly, you say one had to create the other.
Who came first?
There you go.
The chicken or the bomb?
It's so simple. Liz, I don't see how these people are missing it.
Wait a minute. We have people out there that, based upon the advertising campaigns that have been inflicted upon them, that believe that spam tastes just like hamburger. Come on, you know why people think this way? Because that is what they have been conditioned and told how to think time after time after time. Have you read a book on it? Have you studied it? No, I've listened to BBC. That's it. That the BBC, part of the country that justifies their presence in Iraq like we do? Come on.
It is so sad, and I'll end with this, Liz. You people who consider yourself right-wing, conservative, Christian moralists, and you take joy out of the death of this person who actually has done nothing.
Wait a minute. Let's be completely full in our disclosure here. We just had a Democrat talk about glorify and take satisfaction out of the death of this person.
Let's not limit it. Every last one of the people.
There you go.
Who are taking solace in the death of a person who defended their country, would you have taken the same solace if Britain had come over here and wiped the colonists out and said, let's start this over again.
Mm.
Same thing.
Thanks for your call. 454-0400 is my phone number. Get up. Get to me. Mrs. Perez?
Yes. Liz?
Yes.
Hi. I was just wanting to say one more thing that they, it was announced this morning on C-SPAN that they knew about Massawi while they were in Afghanistan and had two or three opportunities to attack him, but they kept putting it off, and then finally they did run him out of Afghanistan, and that's when he ended up in Iraq. And did you hear the latest? He was alive.
He was alive when
coalition forces got there.
So my question is first, what is the real story?
What? That's what everybody's asking on all these stations. And then they got this colonel up here trying to swing something. He don't know nothing.
Wait a minute. Let's just try to be a little bit Spock on this. Okay. Let's just try to be a little logical on this.
Mm-hmm.
You drop 500-pound bombs on the place where this dude is.
Right.
And he's still alive.
He's still alive. All while the wreckage there, he was on a stretcher. He saw the coalition forces. How do we know what happened to
how
him?
How do we know that that is him?
And somebody asked another question. Did they do plastic surgery?
How do we know that is him?
We don't, I guess.
We don't. We don't know, but it sure has taken the conversation off of Bush's sinking poll numbers. What did Karl Rove say? Let's continue to be a little bit Spock on this.
Mm-hmm.
What did Karl Rove say is the reason for the tanking of George Bush's poll numbers?
The Iraq War.
How do we make George Bush's numbers go up if we improve the Iraq War, right?
Make an episode, tie a pretty picture, bow around it.
And let's be clear about the kind of bow and kind of picture that we need to paint. We don't just need to paint a dead man. What we have to paint a picture of and be able to articulate that there is success coming out of Iraq. That is the message that has to happen. How do you paint a picture of success? You kill a bad guy that's responsible for the insurgency, right?
Right.
And then you make these little moves with the parliament. That's the success message that they are going to try to use to pull up the sagging poll numbers of George W. Bush. So I go back to my first question, Ms. Perez. You believe this boy is who they say he is? You believe it happened like they say it did?
I don't think so.
All right now.
I don't think so.
All right now. Thanks for your call.
Mm-hmm. Bye-bye.
454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. My toll-free long-distance number is 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much to talk about. Dolores.
Liz, I was in the service station this morning. That was the big. You know, on the front page, they got this guy's picture on there. And that was the big topic in there. You know what? Nobody believe this is this guy.
Mm-hmm.
Because this one guy said, wait a minute, he was in a bunker. This bunker blew up. Now, they showed the bunker lids on television. This thing blew up the smithereens.
Wait a minute. He was alive.
Right.
So if he was in a bunker and they put a bomb on the bunker, how did he come out alive? Huh?
I don't understand.
Yeah, you do.
Anybody. This guy that called you this morning, come on now. Come on. Oh, he killed people and he... That's what we doing.
Mm.
But you know what, Liz? I tell anybody, look at what America has done. They went into Panama. They took a president of a country out of Panama, got him in.
And they killed thousands of people and buried them in mass graves
when
George Bush's father went in and took out the president of that company. There are families in Panama that are suffering today and will suffer till the end of time because of the murders that took place when they went in and got a man that we haven't heard a word about since they got him.
Look what they did to Gaddafi. They went in there, killed that man's daughter over a lie. They said he bombed that disco in Germany. Then this woman, this Chinese woman said it was not Gaddafi. But, now listen, Liz, George Shultz at the time had this paper in the air on television said, I have unequivocal proof that Gaddafi bombed that disco. He lied.
Wait a minute. Didn't Condoleezza Rice, my husband George Bush, didn't she hold up pieces of paper and
say,
a mushroom cloud is going to appear in America if we don't go into that country?
Wait a minute.
Aren't we friends with Gaddafi now? Aren't we trading with Gaddafi now? Don't we want the oil that Gaddafi once has now? Come on.
Look at the lie they told about Grenada. And then when they interviewed the students down there in Grenada, the students said, we never had any problem down here in Grenada until the Americans start jumping in there in parachutes. That was the only time. I mean, Liz, everything this country has done has been on a lie. And I think for this guy that called you this morning saying, well, if that's the case, Liz, if he feel that way, oh, we should kill this guy or whatever, then they might feel the same way about George Bush because he's a murderer.
Then what should we say? Should we criticize anybody that suggests the same thing happened to people we know?
That's what I'm saying.
All right, now.
Okay.
Thanks for your call. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. Jerry.
Liz.
Yes.
You ever heard of the fact when a person is in prison, they get so institutionalized that they can't live outside of prison?
Yes, I have heard of that syndrome.
Huh?
Yes, I have heard of that syndrome.
Okay, well, I'm just going to say this. The white people in America, this is an institutionalized, commercialized society. And people tend to believe whatever they see on TV, read in the paper. That's their belief. That's what they have been trained and programmed. They're institutionalized, commercialized, brainwashed, and they can't get away from that. So that's my say for the day. They can't help themselves. They've been programmed.
Thanks.
Like you program a German Shepherd to bite, and you pet him, and all the police got to do is give his finger, and that same dog you petted will turn around and tear your head off.
Thanks for your call.
Brainwashed.
All right.
Believe what they do. They can't help
themselves.
They believe it.
All right. 1-877-920-WGNU. We're taking a break. My name is Liz Brown. My number is 1-877-920-WGNU. Zakawi in a bunker, 500-pound bomb, two of them dropped on him, and he comes out alive. Come on, y'all. Come on, y'all.
On my own, I was lonely. You suddenly appeared. It was like
Connect Care, still connected to the community. Sometimes it seems like things are changing so fast that it's hard to keep up and hard to keep track. At Connect Care, we want you to know that, yes, there have been some changes, and yes, we are still connected to the community. At Connect Care, we still have a retail pharmacy open 8 to 5 Monday through Friday. At Connect Care, we still provide transportation to patients that qualify. At Connect Care, we still provide access to in-house laboratory services. At Connect Care, we still provide some of the region's best board-certified doctors. At Connect Care, we still provide urgent care. And at Connect Care, we still see patients on a sliding fee scale. Yes, changes have been made at Connect Care, but we're still connected to you. Connect Care, still connected to the community.
This is Mark Glass. Tune in after the 5 o'clock news every Friday for What's New at the Movies on AM 920. I sit through the bad ones so you don't have to and give you an early heads up on the good stuff. So for advice on getting the best mileage on your entertainment budget, join me, Mark Glass, for What's New at the Movies, Friday afternoons after the 5 o'clock news on AM 920 WGNU, where we discuss the issues and the movies that matter most to you.
Prizes awarded on WGNU will be held for pickup at the radio station for 30 days. After 30 days, all items become the sole property of WGNU Radio to be disposed of at our discretion. In the case of event tickets, tickets will be held for 30 days or until the date of the event, whichever comes first. Prizes must be picked up at our studios, which are located at 265 Union Boulevard in St. Louis, unless otherwise specified.
Hi, this is Judy Moskov. Join me for a Gardener's Notebook every Monday at noon. We'll be talking with gardening experts, and sharing information that you need to know. Get the latest dirt on everything from tomatoes to trees. That's a Gardener's Notebook, every Monday at noon.
This is Sergeant Gary Wiggert, host of Bad Boys on WGNU. Join us as we discuss topics ranging from review boards and high-speed chases to residency requirements for the police. We'll discuss gangs and drugs and how it affects your neighborhood every Friday at 10. I won't fix your tickets, but I will offer you tips on personal safety and how to make your neighborhood a better place to live. That's Bad Boys with me, Sergeant Gary Wiggert, Friday mornings at 10, only on WGNU.
Hi, this is Liz Brown. Yes, we did win the school board election, but our work is not done. So be there this Tuesday at the school board meeting at Carr Lane Middle School at 7 o'clock. Our work is not done. Attend your school board meeting.
Informative, educational, provocative. This is the award-winning Morning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
Well, welcome back to the wake-up call. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have so much stuff to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. Get up, get up, get to me. My goodness gracious. My goodness gracious. We have so much stuff to talk about. And if you want to email me, do that at revolution@lizbrown.com. Please don't forget that tomorrow at 9 a.m., the Urban Institute, U of I, will be meeting. Irene J. Smith and myself are going to talk about Team 4. You need to come on down. It's a wonderful way to start your Saturday. It's a wonderful way to engage in. It's a town hall meeting. It's a think tank. It's a political discussion. All of that and so much more. This Saturday, that's tomorrow, at 9 a.m. at 1020 North Taylor. 1020 North Taylor, that's Firehouse. You need to come on down. You need to come on down. Great parking. And also, continental breakfast will be served. So be there. I want to see you tomorrow. So come on down tomorrow morning. My name is Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. You need to get to me. We have much, 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 much to talk about. 1-877-920-WGNU. You're on the Wake Up Call.
Good morning, young lady.
Good morning.
How you doing, my beautiful sister?
I'm outstanding.
I think even to the build up this war, when that Black Marine was killed in that helicopter crash, father got on TV and blamed George Bush, that George Bush killed his son. Cindy Sheehan said George Bush killed her son. George Bush has killed a lot of sons and daughters. Due to the job situation, I'm about a day behind on my newspaper read. What is the story, or have you heard the story about Ann Coulter criticizing the widows of 9/11?
I think that the word criticize is really, really, really a far cry from what she's done. What she's done is she's engaged in an obscene attack on widows. I mean, it's like the people in this administration have there's nothing that they won't do. They will cheat, they will steal, they will lie, they will beat up on orphans and widows.
Ann
Coulter is in an obscene obsession with trying to sell her book. She is beating up on widows. And that's a monstrous act. That is
also
a monstrous, monstrous act.
It's also amazing how other people can try to dictate to people how they should grieve and what it takes for them to grieve. It's amazing. And last but not least, I left your voicemail a couple of weeks ago about the beautiful young lady from Hazelwood Center who was killed over there in Iraq. Did you have a chance to listen to that?
Mm-hmm.
So you know my feelings on that.
Right.
Is it appropriate to ask how you feel about that, or is it something for a different conversation?
Well, you know, I think that I've been trying to get the family to come on to talk about it, because I think I would rather have the family talk about it.
Right.
Okay.
But you, now do you understand my feelings, or do you think I'm wrong with the feelings that I express? Because I don't know if I should put it on there.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I don't feel comfortable about having, I don't think it makes for good radio to have a conversation about something that only you know or not, that only I know. So that's another conversation.
Okay.
Thanks,
TC. As always, young lady, I love you.
All right. Thank you. Bye-bye. 454-0400 is my phone number. Get up. Get to me. We have much to talk about. You're on the wake-up call.
Yes, I'd like to comment on what Russ Carnahan said. I'm not going to quote him exactly but it sounded like he said that Al Sharkawi was the worst terrorist in the world. And I want to know how soon we forget. Has he forgotten about Hitler and Nazi Germany?
Well, I
would consider him the worst terrorist ever in the whole world.
I don't know. I think that the people that went and snatched millions and millions of Africans from Africa and enslaved them on ships and then threw their bodies out in the water and enslaved them when they got here, I would consider that one of the worst or the worst terrorist act. You destroyed a nation. A continent with the result of those terrorist acts. I would consider the laws that occurred in this country that were codified in this country as a result of that criminal. It's an ongoing criminal enterprise. So it's a continuing terrorist act. So I if we want to get into a competition, since Rush Carnahan is most like his mother in terms of how he feels about, and his father who was in blackface, how they feel about people of African descent, let's remove him from having the obligation to give a hoot about people of African descent. Let's just move him to the modern times. How many people did Timothy McVeigh kill? How many Americans?
We'll never know.
Well, we know thousands of people.
Yeah.
You know,
more than they reported. We'll say that.
Okay. So why isn't he the worst? And he did it here at home. And he did it with homegrown stuff that we grew in our own soil. Why isn't that the most terroristic act in the come on.
Guest, Lynn Washington, on your Looking Back segment was talking about, I think he said 1898, a mass murdering of black people by the whites in South Carolina, and you asked him, were they Klan members, and he said no, that they were upstanding citizens. I had to laugh, almost fell out of my chair, because the Klan, they had all kind of people that were supposed to be upstanding citizens that are in the Klan.
All right. Thanks for your call. 454-0400 is my phone number, 1-877-920-WGNU. You're on the wake-up call. Good morning.
Yes, I sent you an email about 3 or 4 weeks ago, and I asked you about your African descent. And I was wondering, what do you mean by when you refer to that, when you use that term?
When I'm of African descent?
Yes.
That means that my roots, my ethnicity is Nigerian from Africa.
And you know that for sure, that you are from Nigeria?
Yes, I do.
Okay, I was always questioning that.
Why?
I sent you that email, and I wanted to discuss that with you, and if you were willing to discuss a few Bible scriptures about that.
Why were you wondering about that?
Oh, just because I've never heard anyone use that term, because I really applaud you for not saying African American.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think that's beautiful.
I think that the hyphen of African America is the last link of enslavement.
Uh-huh.
I think that is the last bit of the chain of enslavement. Italians say I'm Italian.
Right.
You know, Irish say I'm Irish, no matter how long their family has been removed from that itty-bitty little island. Why are Africans clinging on to America? Why don't Africans say that I am Africa? I'm African.
Well, that's the reason why I wanted to discuss a few scriptures with you. But you say you specifically know that your ancestry comes from Nigeria.
I know on my father's side that my ancestry comes from Nigeria. Yes, I've done the DNA test.
Okay. Now, if I send you another email and with some scriptures, could we correspond on those things and not get your opinion on them?
It you can please email me, and if I can, I certainly will. Okay.
I'll send you another one today.
Okay.
Okay, that'll be from Uriah at Fourth Tribe at sbcglobal.net.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
454-0400 is my phone number. Get up. Get to me. Bill.
Yes. Good morning, Ms. Brown.
Good morning.
Ms. Coulter, I've been following her for the last couple of years. I've never seen a woman so vitriolic in her approach.
That's a very good word.
Toward the people who differ with her point of view.
Mm-hmm.
But she seemingly, she never comes out and attacks Maureen Dowd. I think Maureen has her cup of tea.
Maureen Dowd ain't no joke.
And what I
thought, because there are writers that don't do very good when they are trying to talk, because
right.
they're writers, they're deliberate, and their thoughts come to them through a process, or they're not as quick verbally as they are when they put after they put pen to paper. Maureen Dowd, I saw her on Meet the Press.
Right.
She ain't no joke.
No, she's sharp.
She ain't no joke.
Yeah, I've seen her on occasion. I don't like the guy. I've seen her on the Ivan show in the morning, but
uh-huh.
She's quick.
She ain't no joke.
She has a background. She does the research. But then there was a period here in the St. Louis, East St. Louis area in the 1917-1919 race riot, whereas the leading agitators in the race riot in East St. Louis, it's been documented and researched that they were white females. They were the ones who were very vitriolic. And they were the leaders of the race riot. I think it's a little known fact.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's out there. And somebody needs to bring it up there. And then I got a quick comment about the military. Can I put this out there real quick?
All right, quickly, please.
Sure. People, you know, I applaud the Tuskegee Airmen, you know, for what they did, you know, for black people and whatever in World War II. But there were thousands and thousands of other black soldiers that did just as well or even better. You had one outfit that shot down 90 German planes from the ground. People never talk about them. All black.
Why don't you write a book?
I think I will.
All right. Why don't you write a book? We need that, okay?
Sure.
All right. Listen, folks, this is Liz Brown. This is The Wake-Up Call. I have this wonderful quote from Bush, but I don't want to play it yet. I want to come in so I can stay with it some while. This is wonderful, wonderful. We have to evaluate people by what they say. And after you listen to these Boy George's own words, what do we say about him as a person? You don't want to miss these words from Boy George when we come back in. I'm Liz Brown. Stay with me. You don't have to travel all the way to the mall to visit your Sears. Why don't you visit the only black-owned and operated Sears located at 3425 Union. That's 3425 Union. Sears. Where else? Where else, where else, where else do you get a washer, a dryer? A washer, a dryer that from every single end of your economic situations, whether you need a high-end or anything under that. Get on over to Sears at Union and Natural Bridge. You can get refrigerators. You can get stoves. Everything you need to make your house a lovely, lovely, lovely home. Get on down to Sears at Union and Natural Bridge. They have great deals. Deals that you can't get at the mall. Location that you don't have to go to the mall. And customer service that they don't even think of at the mall. Get on over to Sears at Union and Natural Bridge. My name is Liz Brown. When you get your shop on, tell them I told you to.
This is your wake-up call, Global News Update. Dateline Boston. A report in the Boston Globe says the American military has paid out a tremendous amount of money to families of Iraqi civilians who were killed or hurt due to American operations. The amount was about $5 million in 2004, but jumped to $20 million last year. Payments range from a few hundred dollars for losing an arm or leg to $2,500 if a death occurs. Senator Ted Kennedy is now calling for an investigation into these payments in order to find out what exactly is going on with them. The money comes out of a fund called the Commander's Emergency Response Program, which allows military brass to use cash to help win the hearts and minds of the civilian population affected by the consequences of battle. The information on the payments comes from data information released by the Pentagon. And Dateline Washington. There's another piece to the puzzle regarding a report we aired last week concerning Laura Bush staying at a Washington hotel because of marital difficulties. The Mayflower Hotel, where she is said to be staying, is owned by the Marriott Corporation, and the word has come down from top management that its employees are not to say anything about whether or not Laura Bush is staying there. The hotel has only gone as far as saying that if she was staying there, she would have been registered under another name because of Secret Service concerns for her. Marriott International and its subsidiaries contributed $750,000 to the president's inaugural celebration in 2004. And Marriott had also been asking the White House to extend the Terrorism Risk Insurance Act, which helped the company keep from paying higher insurance premiums after the September 11th attacks. This is your wake-up call global news update.
Oh, it's time. You hear the drums? You hear the drums? It is time. It is time for the drawing. That's right, for the Liz Brown Because We Care package drawing. You need to listen up. Listen up. We have some wonderful prizes. We have a book by Elin Harris that's going to be in the package this week. We have cups. We have water bottles. We have magnets. It's just it's a cornucopia, if you will. Let us begin the drawing. Let's begin the drawing for the Liz Brown Because We Care package. What you got, what you got, who you got, who you got, who got it, 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 and the winner is, you hear me? You hear me opening it up, Margaret Toms, congratulations, congratulations. You are this week's winner of the Liz Brown Because We Care package, congratulations.
This is Dr. Laura Schlesinger. Join me weekday afternoons from 2 to 4 on AM 920 WGNU. And I look forward to hearing from you. If you have problems with a personal, work, or family relationship, call me at 1-800-DR-LAURA. That's 1-800-DR-LAURA for the issues that matter most. It's AM 920 WGNU. And for the personal issues that matter most, join me, Dr. Laura, now from 2 to 4 every weekday afternoon. Then go do the right thing.
This is Jim Curran, Curran Events. I'm delighted to say that Curran Events is now on Monday nights from 8 to 10 o'clock. Right here on AM 920 WGNU, the station for the issues that matter most.
This is Sergeant Gary Wiggard. Don't touch that dial. Step away from the radio. Why? Because I'm next.
Bad boys, bad boys. What you gonna do? What you gonna do when they come for you?
Hi, this is Danny Glover, and you're listening to the Wake Up Call with Liz Brown on WGNU.
Hi, this is Liz Brown. Yes, we did win the school board election, but our work is not done. So be there this Tuesday at the school board meeting at Carr Lane Middle School at 7 o'clock. Our work is not done. Attend your school board meeting.
The people, the issues affecting your life, right here, right now, on the award-winning Wake Up Call.
In every heart, there is a drum that beats steady and strong. It does not know defeat. I feel it proud and know the sound of truth.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. Congratulations again to the winner of the Liz Brown Because We Care package, Margaret Toms. Congratulations, and you'll be able to pick up your package on Monday. So, and for everybody else, keep on trying, keep on trying. 1-877-920-WGNU. I think that we should be measured by what we say. I believe that we should be measured by what we do. I think that we should be measured by what we stand for. We're all human. We're all going to make mistakes. We're all going to do things that we shouldn't do. And then we are supposed to respond to those things, change our behavior, make our behavior better, because we're all prone to mistakes because we're human. Those of us that have different positions, a dock worker has a different responsibility than the guy that's sitting in the White House. When you have your finger on the button, when your words can determine whether or not the stock market rises or falls, when your actions will determine whether or not people live or die, when you can make the decision of sending a nuke to another country, your words have to be weighed out very carefully. And we, because you represent us, because you work for us, we are going to judge you very, very, very much based on the words that you say. Integrity is everything. With much, 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 with this type of a job comes much, much, much responsibility. And the foundation of this responsibility is truth and integrity. Having said that, let's listen to what George W. Bush told us he was going to do.
I expect every member of this administration to stay well within the boundaries that define legal and ethical conduct. This means avoiding even the appearance of problems. This means checking, and if need be, double-check that the rules have been obeyed.
Huh. Even the appearance of impropriety. Why is Karl Rove still with us? Why is that? Why is this administration, why is George Bush still with us? You lied about this war. And you would be part of this administration. And I'm telling you, I cannot believe. And I don't think it would be logical to do otherwise. Anything that comes out of this administration's mouth. You lied about the war. You lied about spying on us. You lied about Katrina and what you have done. And ever since you went down to New Orleans and had your team put some electricity on, the electricity still isn't on. Where you were, there's still no electricity. And you haven't been back since, and you haven't uttered a word Katrina yet again. Integrity, huh? Integrity. You measure all of those things. You take all those things into consideration. And you ask yourself, at the moment that they tell us that someone like Al-Zarqawi is dead, and at the moment they tell us how Al-Zarqawi died, we must, our responsibility is to question that because of the history of the lies that you have told us. I don't believe you. I believe that this is an orchestrated, calculated event, showtime, to try and raise up the numbers, the poll numbers that they say they don't care about and they don't watch and they don't pay any attention to. The fact of the matter is, this is an administration that can't even spell integrity. Listen to these words and tell me if I'm lying.
I expect every member of this administration to stay well within the boundaries that define legal and ethical conduct. This means avoiding even the appearance of problems. This means checking, and if need be, double-check that the rules have been obeyed.
My name is Liz Brown. You're on the wake-up call.
Yeah, Liz.
Yes, Ike.
I'm hearing this madman talk this nonsense. What I got to say to all veterans out there, ain't no heroes over there in Iraq. Iraq did not come over here. They put the blame on Saddam. They couldn't get Osama bin Laden, and they never will. And I don't believe the man is dead myself, because you know when some of the same sons were so-called killed, they ain't putting the paper there to put a little makeup on to make their bodies presentable. You can't believe nothing. This man would do anything to get a rise in his thing, but he's too illiterate, so he'll never get it. And you soldiers, you're not heroes at all. You better come home. Your parents better wake up and stop being fools. That's all I gotta say, Liz.
1-877-920-WGNU. That's my number. You're on the wake-up call.
Yes, good morning, Mr. Powell.
Yes.
You know, I was just listening talking about the terrorist thing, and it always come to my mind of what they said about Nat Turner. They said in that tunnel was a terrorist. You know, America said that. Here's a man only trying to fight for his freedom, which even an animal will do. And yet he was classified as the worst terrorist in the world. And you know, Mrs. Brown, as I've said before, when I see our kids going to school, and I didn't go to school, but I come to find out that one thing that is for sure, my history, my experience is much more than what a book says. And the number one thing that I do know is a fact. Nobody knows the master better than the servant. And that's how black folks have ever been in America, even down to Condoleezza Rice today. And if we don't know who we are dealing with, you know, then we really can expect whatever comes.
All right. Thanks for your call. 454-0400 is my phone number. You're on the wake-up call.
Yes, Liz. They announced that individuals that told the U.S. where Zuccalli was, or Zuccalli, will split $25 million. Thank you very much.
God bless the red, white, and blue, huh? My name is Liz Brown. Don't forget tomorrow at 9 a.m., the UVI. I'm talking about the Urban Institute meets tomorrow morning, 9 o'clock at 1020 North Taylor. That's the firehouse, fire building. You need to come on down. Irene J. Smith and myself, we've got something for you. Team 4 Plan, workshop, political conversation, and at Think Tank. Saturday, tomorrow at 9 a.m., 1020 North Taylor. I will see you then. And until Monday, stay strong.
I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, stop me.
Truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it.
A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.